Injured in a car accident? We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery, no fees or costs. If another lawyer wants more, Lawyer Up 904. For accidents, injuries, and more, Lawyer Up 904. Jacksonville.
They are not ready for primetime.
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 Primetime, that's the name.
Primetime.
Primetime.
What time is it?
Showtime primetime.
It's XL Primetime, featuring Joe C.
Why in the world am I sitting back and being quiet about this?
Matt Hayes.
That's not how it works.
Mia O'Brien.
Should I laugh? Should I not laugh?
And Leon Searcy.
This is a big boy league.
How you laughing now? How you laughing now?
I know what you all out there, all of y'all in Duval, like a short work week. You got lots of football and lots of food ahead of you the next 3-4 days. That's for sure. Welcome into XL Primetime, noon on a Wednesday. Some of you may just be jetting right out of the office, the workplace, and just starting to get into it a little bit.
By the way, real quick, last week when you weren't here Thursday? Yeah. The primal scream from Leon?
Yeah.
Oh, it was epic.
I think it was better than yours. Because I was going to say you might want to do your primal scream now.
I digress.
Yeah.
No.
Do you think yours was?
No. I was trying to emulate what you bring to the table.
I do like the fact that you can bang it out, though.
I'm telling you right now.
You want to hear this? You want to hear this?
All right. So let's do it together in 3, 2, 1. That's not bad at all.
I told you.
That's not bad at all. All right, a little fist pound right there.
I was going to defer to JJ, and then as I was about to say it, Leon goes, no, wait. And he let it rip. It was awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is welcome to our version of the weekend. That's exactly right on XL Primetime. And it's Wednesday, but we are going to have a bunch of fun today coming out of a Thanksgiving cook-off W for XL Primetime and getting into all the games that are coming up tomorrow. We got so much college and pro that we will dip into today. Look at all the rivalry games in college football. I tell you all the time that it just flies by so dang fast. We've got 7 more weeks of NFL action, but this is the last regular season week of college football, so we're definitely going to spend some time on that. That's for sure. And we say thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. They bring you Wednesday's show, and they've got great things going on every single day at the Golf Club of Southampton, and especially, you know, the holidays. You'll be with the family. You'll get full, and you'll watch a lot of ball, and then you'll just want to jet out there and hit some golf balls, loosen up just a little bit. So call 287-PLAY. Make it part of your Thanksgiving weekend. Head on out to the Golf Club of Southampton, and we will be out there with our Toys for Tots tournament December 7th. And we collect a lot of toys out there. But if you want to drop off, if you're not part of the tournament, which is already sold out, if you want to be part of it in terms of donating to the Marines, you can drop off an unwrapped toy here at 1010XL. We will make sure we get it to Southampton for the Marines that day, or you can drop it off right there at the golf club. And let's get as many toys in the hands of kids around Christmas time as much as we possibly can. All right, we got a lot of gifts that we get to get into. Big Sirs, this is such a good week of college ball. We were talking about the NFL games that are coming up tomorrow. You got Giants and Cowboys. That is the marquee game, I would think, tomorrow. And then we've got the Egg Bowl tomorrow night, all sorts of things surrounding Lane Kiffin. Dude, this is such a good time for some ball.
I mean, listen, if you're a college football fan, you want this time of the season. Every time near the holidays where conferences are online, playoff positions are online, teams are down to their one game or two games to determine what bowls they want to be in. I mean, this is the reason why you play college football. I remember how excited and exuberated I was as a player getting into the last week of the season, trying to figure out what bowl I was going to get in. We didn't have any playoffs back then, but now these kids get to – I was watching the playoffs. I mean, they were breaking down the top 25 teams or whatever. And I was getting excited. I knew who the front four was, but, you know, number 5 and number 6, you know, was it going to be USC? Was it going to be LSU? I mean, they like LSU. But LSU, I'm looking at LSU. They only get in if they beat Georgia.
That's
it. But if you take a – everybody – listen, going into the season, I didn't think Brian Kelly was going to do what he did at LSU because you talked about the scholarships and all the other stuff.
Somebody knew what he was going to do.
You did. You called him out. You called him and said, that's a hell of a coach. But, no, this is a great time of the season, playoffs, you know, When it comes to the NFL, it's a breakdown of the pretenders and the contenders.
This is where it starts to kick
off. Guys are jockeying for positions right now. Who's going to get? Who's going to be the one seed, the two seed? Who's going to have to go on the road? Who's going to get that home playoff game? All that kind of stuff. These games factor in November going to December.
I actually like this week of college football better than even the championship games.
Yeah,
rivalry week is a bunch of it's what it's all about, man.
Yeah,
because the games are just so awesome, and they just let it hang out everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere in the game, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can to win a game, and there are some games now where there's a lot going on. Like tomorrow's Egg Bowl.
Yeah,
is that Kiffin's last game at Ole Miss?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote something about that going in tomorrow's Saturday down south. You can read it there. The South Carolina Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cocky is going to win that game, and I don't know why. I just got this weird feeling, man.
Yeah,
but
it's
all
good.
Over, man.
How do you feel about Clark Lee?
Hosting Tennessee. There's a little turmoil right now in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's the
because
thing. Yeah.
Some of the defensive players think we're mad about the suspension of another player, and there's a rumor that they weren't playing as hard against South Carolina. Now you've got – here's another one. You've got Notre Dame and USC, a giant rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
There's rivalry games everywhere. Of course, Michigan, Ohio State, everywhere you look.
You've got four top 25 games, and then in addition to that, that's the cool part about this, is you've got the four top 25 games, which USC, Notre Dame is among those four, but then you've also got these games like South Carolina and Clemson Tennessee Vandy that if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I would be like, oh, that's a blowout. That's a dub.
Yeah, and so what Vandy can do is just add to
– oh, by the way, Alabama-Auburn.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
The Iron Bowl, of course, and Florida-Florida State, all right? Yeah, I mean, come on. But
TCU still hanging on a thread as well.
Yeah.
In Miami, you guys don't have rivals.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we could be bowl eligible, baby.
You come up with that dub.
See how that was way back.
Yeah.
Y'all have like this forced rivalry with Florida State. Like they're just a rival because they're in their state. Other than that, you don't really have a rival, do you?
Well, Notre Dame. Notre Dame was a rival.
Yeah, that's another
pretty
one.
Now they just don't play enough.
They don't play enough.
Yeah, and when you were an independent, or for that matter, in the Big East, you and Virginia Tech had some sensational
games. Yeah, we had
some.
Yeah,
up in Blacksburg and then down in.
But nothing comparable to this week.
Yeah,
absolutely. Nothing like that. That's weird, right?
No, it's weird.
And what it is it's border wars or in-state rivalries. And heck, you got Louisville, Kentucky. You got a handful of these other ones.
Brutal rivalry.
I mean, that's a bourbon battle.
Oh my God,
it's just so good, but. Florida State, it is a Friday night kick. It's something that a lot of Florida fans weren't happy about, but Florida State says it's our game, it's our schedule, we're putting it on Friday night. And I actually think a lot of people, once it happens, look, the team that Florida has right now ain't what you expected necessarily with the big game Billy coming in, thinking that he was going to revive Gator Nation. And then on the other side, Mike Norvell feeling pretty dang good about himself and what they've been able to do. They've been able to rattle off a lot of wins. And so that's a huge, huge football game. You got the war on I-4, UCF. They just fell and lost. And so now they got to try and paddle their rival, quote, rival in South Florida, and see if they can get back into that top group of five conversation.
Was that just a slide at USF from you?
I think
it was. From UCF
dad? Oh,
believe
me. The war on I-4, yeah. It's nights over the Bulls all day. The fight in Brett Morgan's, they can kiss this. I tell them that all the time. And so, yes, it was an absolute swipe at South Florida. And Dr. Barry, who will be in here later. He's also a USF guy.
Seriously, all of Indiana-Purdue is a just bitter rivalry.
Yeah.
The people, like, if you live here, you don't understand how crazy. Like, South Carolina-Clemson is, like, literally, they hate each other. Louisville-Kentucky, they hate each other. The only thing that doesn't fit, and it will fit in a couple years, is Texas and Texas A&M. A&M haven't played since, I guess it would be 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, a 14-point line and then some for Clemson as a favorite against
14?
South Carolina. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a big number. And so Spencer –
see, I don't like that for my prediction because somebody knows something.
Yeah. Spencer Rattler in South Carolina, they did something on Saturday night that they hadn't really done all year long. They exploded for big offense, and they have been really so ill-productive on the offensive side of the ball. Look at their yards per play completions, just basically yards per play. It was around 5.5. It was lousy.
We can't forget Iowa, Nebraska, too.
Yes, Friday, 4 o'clock, the lead out from the USA-England game at 2.
Yeah.
Get ready, boys and girls.
Yeah, I don't know how we forgot it. That's the nap time.
The under is below 40, by the way, according to the good folks at MyBookie.
That's nap time right there.
No one say Ohio State. No one say Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
No one say Ohio State, Michigan, noon kickoff.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's 100% nap time Friday at 4.
It's nap time.
It's no doubt about it.
There's no question about it. You want something that will help put you to sleep? Yeah, I mean, nothing like it.
Nothing like a 38 total, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
By the way.
And honestly, I mean, Nebraska's been playing a little bit better of late under Mickey Joseph, a little bit. So, yeah. I mean, there's a chance Iowa scores of that 38.
Well, it's funny because
they could have more points.
You see a few of these interim coaches that are doing okay.
Yeah.
Look at what Georgia Tech did to North Carolina. They spoiled Mac's run-in to the ACC championship game and Drake May Heisman, you know, early on Heisman conversation. They spoiled it.
I'll
Georgia Tech playing pretty good ball.
If Cadillac beats Alabama, that might be his job.
Yeah, it very well
could
be.
That might be his job.
That, by the way, is something in the neighborhood of three touchdowns, like a 22-point line, something in that neighborhood. But Cadillac certainly will be considered. The Lane conversation is real, I believe. It is real because of what he can and cannot get in Oxford, Mississippi. And with apologies to all my hottie-totties out there, that's what he is looking at.
It's NIL money. It's not contract for himself.
Right, right. He is trying, not holding his fan base ransom, but he's basically saying, do you like what we've got going on here, or are you ready for me just to shove off and look somewhere else where there is – Auburn's not a great situation, but it ain't a bad situation, and he needs to look at that. You know what Lane's record is against the SEC West? It's 2-3. Do you know who they've beaten? Aubie and A&M.
Right.
Okay, two
you
suckers.
You better beat them. Yep.
This season.
But
those
I mean,
are the only two wins he has right now.
No, I get it. The thing with Lane and Ole Miss, it's not only the NIL money. At the end of last year when they won 10 games for like the fourth time in school history.
Yeah, very, very rare.
They won 10 games, or in the modern era is what it was. He lost both his coordinators. He lost DJ Durkin to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and he lost Jeff Lebby to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Both of them got significant raises.
Right.
He couldn't compete with it.
Yeah.
Because his assistant coach's salary pool is not as big as other major programs. Mm-hmm. All right? So then you start talking about the NIL pool, or whatever you want to call it. Clearly not as big. And Ole Miss is clearly not doing enough to develop it. Like Danny White at Tennessee, your former AD mm-hmm. at UCF.
Yeah.
Literally 2 days after they beat Alabama, he sent a video message out to all the Tennessee fans. Look, you know, this is a great time in Tennessee sports, blah, blah, blah. It was obviously about the football game. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to give to the Vol collectives, blah, 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 blah. They can do that. They can tell fans to give to the collectives. They just can't give to the collectives themselves, the university.
Right. Yeah.
So Ole Miss is not doing that. And then, of course, it's the end of September against Tulsa. They're up on Tulsa by like 10 points. They come out from halftime. The stadium's like half empty. No one's there. They've all gone back to the Grove.
Yeah.
And Lane's like, you come out, it looks like a high school stadium.
Right, yeah, and you're more hottie-totty than you are
Yeah,
Ole Miss.
So you're not – he does – at Auburn, he comes back, and it's 86,000 people there, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's all kind of money in the NIL.
That's why, honestly –
there's all kind of money in the assistant coach salary pool.
Just put me on record that I think it's real that he's going to Auburn and that there will be a mad, mad play for him. If he's going to move inside the league and not wait to see if Alabama opens up with Nick Saban, this might be – one of the leaps that Lane makes. So I'm in that camp right now. And like I said, I've talked to a few hottie-totties, and they're not feeling good about it. They're not happy about it. And we'll see where it ends up going. But that Egg Bowl is about a field goal line, I want to say, two and a half points, something like that, a little less than a field goal, with Mike Leach and Mississippi State. And they could just pour more salt in that Ole Miss wound if they were to win the Egg Bowl. So you got all these games that we will get into today, and then the NFL as well. Your Jaguars, let's at least spend a second on this real quick because they're playing Sunday. We will have everything rolling early with the kickoff show at 8 a.m. to get you ready for the Ravens coming into the bank with El Boogie, Lamar Jackson, and whether or not this team can stop him or not. Definitely a big storyline. But coming out of the Doug Peterson presser earlier today, Mia, he basically said that it's not like he's sitting a guy down. He ain't Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson to Devin Lloyd, but he's basically saying you got to play better, and there's going to be others that are going to get snapped.
And that's on the heels of Doug Peterson saying in Kansas City that sometimes you gain a different perspective by mm-hmm. taking a second and sitting down and looking at the game from the sidelines, which obviously sounds offensive when mm-hmm. when you say it that way.
Oh, yeah.
But I think
it's like a fancy way of saying your bench.
There's some merit to that, yes. Yeah. And I know Gibby's got – because Gibby's sitting in for JJ once again today, mm-hmm. or shout out to Andrew Gibson for filling in. And I know he's got the cuts from Doug, but I know Doug also said – that he made an analogy to a certain first-round wide receiver that he had in Philadelphia. So it's either Jalen Reagor or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is my guess. Mm-hmm. And he described how that player was struggling, and it was affecting the whole team, and he had to, quote, sit him down for a couple of weeks.
Had to be. Yeah.
It had to be Reagor. Yeah. And then he went on to say that then the player, after 2 weeks of sitting down and kind of avoiding the media scrutiny and seeing the game through a different lens, that they came back and were extremely productive. That is the only reason I was like, is it really Jalen Reagor?
Yeah,
obviously, Doug's going to praise his guy, which I get. But it was interesting that he was very transparent and he brought up the Reagor example. Mm-hmm. Like that was where I was like, oh, well, I mean, you say that Muma and Lloyd are going to be rotating, and I'm sure, listen, you need all hands on deck in stopping this Ravens run game.
Right.
But it was interesting that he verbatim referenced having to sit someone down. And of course, the irony of it all is that in New York, they are quite literally putting Zach Wilson down. Mm-hmm. So that's the irony of it all.
Yeah. So go ahead and hit Dougie fresh before we get to Zach Wilson on the decision with Devin Lloyd from earlier today.
I think now this back, third of the season here or half of the season, I think you'll see more of a rotation with those two guys. And it's a great opportunity for both of them. And this week in particular, because of the unique style of Baltimore's, run offense, you're going to have to probably use as many of those linebackers as possible.
Got to keep them fresh, right?
Oh, well, listen, I've always said a point of emphasis, if a coaching staff wants to get a point over to a player, you take away his money or his playing time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right? And when you take away a player's playing time, what you're emphasizing is that his classroom work is not up to par. Devin Lloyd, he probably has all the athletic ability that you could possibly want in a linebacker, but his study or his study habits or his ability to comprehend and comply and then react on the field has not lived up to par to what the defensive coordinator is looking for. Mm-hmm. So that has mostly to do with his classroom work. And I'm not saying he's not studying. That means he's not he may be studying, but he may not be studying well or
right.
well enough.
All right, so then this is the question to you. When you first got the Steelers, you didn't start right away.
Nope.
So being on the sidelines, did that help you see the game better? In what ways did it help you, I guess is the best way to say it.
It infuriated me, okay? And I really did. I hated being on the sideline. I hated not playing football, and I wanted to get out there at any chance I could, but my whole rookie year, I didn't play at all. So it infuriated me. So whatever I needed to do to get myself ready to play, because all those times I was on the sideline, I was preparing myself to play that next week, even though I knew I wasn't going to play. That's the hardest thing you could ever do. But see, I had guys in front of me, I had veterans in front of me that taught me how to be a professional, that taught me how to study, how to take notes, and all that other kind of stuff. So when it was my turn, I was ready to go.
But when you were on the sideline, were you watching and observing?
Oh, yeah. I was watching it, but I don't care how much you watch the game on the sideline, it can't simulate speed.
Yeah.
It can't. Yeah. You got to be out there. And that's what I think that a lot of rookies struggle with mm-hmm. is the simulation of speed.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever
yes.
they thought they did well in college, they think that's going to translate well into the next level. And it doesn't always. So there's guys like Micah Parsons. He's a freak.
Right.
Okay, he's a freak.
Right.
But not everybody's a Micah Parsons who can transition so quickly from college to the pros and just be a stud. Some guys, it takes a little longer. What I'm saying is by him rotating Muma and Devin Lloyd, he's basically telling Devin Lloyd, hey, you have all that. You have all the prowess to be a good linebacker, but you've got to concentrate more on your studies, and that's going to make you even a better player.
But from you coming as a player,
yeah,
him standing on the sideline and him watching that, does that make him see it better? You know what I mean? Does he see what's going on better, and can that translate to the field?
No, he's going to be angry being
yeah,
on the sidelines.
It. Really,
watching. He's going to be angry.
So he's not.
If he's
really...
not angry. Then we drafted the wrong guy.
So the idea of you'll see it better is really not.
No,
a thing.
No, you
it's
got
a
benched.
Fancy. Yeah.
It's a fancy way of saying you got benched.
So it's the old version of the coach's best guys. Best guys is the bench.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you also have a limited roster, so you can't mm-hmm. do this all the time.
Right.
But what Doug is saying is that down the stretch, this is a 3-7 football team. Yeah, they can get on a run. It'd be great. But there's no. In other words. I'm gonna as a head coach, I'm gonna take a look at my options at an important position with a guy that's not doing everything I'm asking him to do, or he's just kind of lost. And that way, Chad Muma may have a chance to rise, and you don't lose anything by trying that.
And there's another good thing that Doug Peterson is doing with that fact that they are 3-7, and he is pulling Devin Lloyd. He's letting a lot of guys know that your complacency mm-hmm. to play does not guarantee you a spot come game day. Basically, he's saying that if you're not playing up to par, we're going to pull you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know, but to be fair, who's behind everybody else you're talking about?
I agree.
That's
but
so few.
But he can look at the roster and see Muma and Devin Lloyd and say,
that's a possibility.
That's
and
a possibility.
Right, and we've already seen Arden Key and Dajuan Smoot, exactly, yeah, move to the outside linebacker room, and then obviously they've taken more snaps away from Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker because those two have been more effective. The exact quote that Doug used a couple weeks ago with regard to Devin Lloyd was that, you know, his mind is a little muddied right now.
Yeah.
Those were the words that he used.
And I listen, I could understand a rookie swimming, looking around going, where am I? What are my reads? Do I trust my eyes? You know, and Coach goes over it all the time. We fired off a Campo and Joe podcast yesterday. Wherever you listen to podcasts or any of our social channels, check out Campo and Joe. And that's what he says, because you have got to get to a point where everything is just based on what your knowledge, and you're not worried about making the wrong
decision. And what you could say is, why doesn't Caldwell just simplify it to help the kid out? No. Let the kid – he's got to learn the defense. All the components of being in that defense, you don't simplify for one guy. No, he's got to learn it. He's got to learn all the different components of the defense so he can fit in well.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I believe offenses will have an easier time just you know, taking advantage of him, because you have dumbed it down to a point where, you know, they're going to go, oh, my gosh, there's nothing sophisticated going on the other side of the ball. All right, you guys can hit the text line, Designed by Lifetime Enclosures, 641-1010. Biggest game you're looking forward to, obviously jumping on the Jags, but – beyond the Jags thought, we hope you'll throw at us the biggest game that you're looking forward to over the next 4 days. Now let's get to Zach Wilson.
Can I read you some of these quotes before we even, because Gibby does have Robert Saleh. But when I, folks, you're driving in your car, you're listening at work. When I tell you these quotes, I just, fair warning, this is a viewer discretion advised. Not that it's PG-13 or R-rated, but you're just going to shake your head. Yeah. Leon, are you ready? As a former player,
I am.
Robert Saleh, when he went and told Zach Wilson that they would be benching him, Zach Wilson reacted with some frustration and said, why me? Why now? I want to play.
Wow.
Robert Saleh then went on to say that he is confident Zach Wilson will be supportive of Mike White and cheer him on. Robert Saleh then said that, quote, maybe there's a little irritation at the moment, but he does not think the Jets locker room hates Zach Wilson.
Wow, so Zach threw a tantrum.
Yeah. I can picture my cousin right now picking up his ball and going home.
He threw a tantrum.
Did he pull a Ryan Leaf, it sounds like?
Exactly.
Which Ryan Leaf buried Zach Wilson yesterday on Twitter. So look at the circle of life. Isn't it beautiful, everyone?
Yeah, but he had to do that or he would have lost the locker room. I mean, because Zach Wilson played horrible that game. What was that team they played? Who they played against?
Yeah.
The Patriots.
The Patriots. He played horrible. And then to get up there in the presser and they ask him a question, if you let the defense down, he said no. I mean, but he's young. You know, listen, I'm always – the kid's young. I mean,
But let's just immediately insert Trevor Lawrence in this equation.
Yeah.
Would you ever catch him with that question saying no?
No. Trevor knows better. I mean, he's primed. You know, he's sharp at the podium. He's primed at the podium.
He's also not going to say, why me? I want to play.
Exactly. He's not going to say that. I mean, those are two different spirits.
Yeah. And so both of them are young.
They're young.
And I know that some of them, you're right, they got to grow. They got to take their lumps and realize, oh, my gosh, I blew it.
Yeah. I mean, he's young. And the reason why you don't give up on that kid like that, because I remember my second year in the league. I was – you know, my whole first year in the league, I didn't play. My second year in the league, I was struggling. I was on the borderline of papers, borderline bust and all that kind of stuff. And, I turned it around. So I'm saying there's always that possibility where you can turn your career around.
Happen.
It doesn't feel good right now, but if you stay determined and you stay focused and don't give up on yourself, you can do it.
I always think of Vernon Davis when Mike Singletary – you know, that famous rant that he had. And Vernon Davis was the reason why Singletary lost it. And then from that moment on, Vernon Davis said, I understand what you're saying, and I'm going to recommit myself. And he always thanked him for it. But Singletary got ran out not long after that, which is unfortunate.
So let's hit a break, but then we'll come back with the Zach Wilson talk, because Gibby does have the sound from Robert Saleh's press conference this morning. And then Mike LaFleur, Jets offensive coordinator, also met the media on this subject. And then we'll come back and I want to give you another quote. We'll tease this, because Robert Saleh said this is not the end of Zach Wilson in New York. They believe he still is the future of the franchise. And you're going to want to hear this other quote that he had.
It's XL Primetime.
The young man needs a reset. His decision-making's been fine. His practice habits, all that stuff have been fine. But there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him. And this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process. And it's something that I feel like he's going to be able to do.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Isn't it fun to not be the center of all the drama in the National Football League? Leave it to those entitled New York media folks. It's so nice that the New York Jets are the ones quibbling with, is our quarterback of the future? That, of course, is the voice of Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets, one-time former Jaguars defensive assistant. As the Jets have decided to bench Zach Wilson, he will be a healthy inactive this Sunday when they host the Chicago Bears. Mike White gets the start. Joe Flacco will be the backup. I want to continue with this quote that Robert Saleh went on to mention when he was questioned this morning regarding the decision to bench Wilson. He said that Geno Smith is a player who took time off, and then he came back better than ever.
That should work out well then, Rob, up there in New York, about what, 2031?
Zach Wilson's like just 8 years away, folks. Yeah. It's going to be okay. Give him 8 years.
That's insane that he would use that as an example. He's going to probably have to go back to Zach Wilson in 2 weeks' time.
Is he?
Yeah, he might. Look, Mike White.
The way he was talking there, he did not sound like he was going back to Zach Wilson.
Oh, well, he may not. He may not. But at the same time, this is what we all got to realize. Who's going to get fired first? Second number, two overall pick, or the head coach? They're going to figure out whether or not he's got it right or not.
That's why I liked what Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, his first tweet that he had after the aftermath of the announcement, which Adam Schefter was the first to report it, that Zach Wilson would be benched. Trevor said, I know one thing. The Jets got it right at head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Leon, we were talking about in the pre-show meeting, for Robert Saleh as a head coach, why did he have to make this move?
I mean, for the sake of the team, he had to make the move. I mean, when he went up to that presser and basically said that he had no fault, there was no fault of his in them losing the game, and the defense did what they did. They battled through and held the Patriots to 3 points, and his turnovers, his inability to move the ball, move the chains, and come up with any kind of scoring possibility, he had to. And I can only imagine that team meeting. I don't know if Zach Wilson, because I told you, I've been in locker rooms where quarterbacks who have struggled have come in front of the team meeting and apologized. Maybe Zach didn't do that. Maybe that's all it really took for him to salvage his job, and he didn't do it.
Right.
And Saleh was like, listen, we can't move forward with this kid right now. I mean, we're going to lose the locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably would have been enough if Zach Wilson had just came in and said, hey, fellas, I know what I said in the presser. I want to apologize for that. You know, I had a bad game. I need to play better. And if you trust me again, I will be prepared to. If he had said that, I don't think we even talked about this right now. So it had to be something where Zach probably was in the team meeting room, was like, the hell with it. I'm first round pick. I ain't apologizing, y'all.
Wow.
Have you ever heard a head coach in the National Football League refer to it as he's got some things that are out of whack?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I was told a long time ago by offensive linemen, as far as when it comes to your game, you got whatever you do in practice, you've got to trust it on Sunday. And whatever Zach will, because you heard the head coach talking about, you know, it's not about his preparation, it's not about his practice, it's not about this and that. It's just that when game day comes around, he doesn't look like the same person in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever he's doing in practice that's giving them the confidence, it's not translating to Sundays.
Right.
And that's what's worrying the coaching staff. I was always told by a veteran guy to say, listen, Leon, whatever you do on Sunday, whatever you're doing during the week, trust your technique. If you get beat by it, live and die by that technique that you're doing through practice. Live and die by it. Because if you do something during the week, during practice, and you come out on Sunday and do something different, that's not going
to
work.
Yeah, Which brings me to, if he's saying, no, I'm not the problem on Sunday, what is he saying during the week?
Well, he's doing everything. Yeah. Necessary to keep the job up until this point. It's just when he gets in there on Sundays when he's blowing it, right?
No, I'm talking about off the field.
He is doing everything right to keep that job. And by the way, the record has something to do with this, him keeping that job, because they were winning football games. And he, because he is not, that's not the only bad game he's had.
He may have only had 2 yards of offense in 30 minutes of play, which was just dreadful, but he's had some other bad games where they've had to overcome it defensively. So I'm sure they have Mike White and Joe Flacco behind him. We have to remind ourselves, that's the number one reason why Zach Wilson is the starter. They picked him number two overall. Douglas says, that's your guy. Salah says, we got to figure it out. And then he just reached a point, an erosion point, in terms of poor leadership, where they finally had to sit him down, honestly.
Listen, if I'm Zach Wilson and I got Joe Flacco in my meeting room, I'm a sponge. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Whatever Flacco is doing as far as preparation and film and study, I'm there. I'm right there with him. I'm up at 5:30, 5 o'clock in the morning in the meeting rooms with. I am absorbing all the kind of information I can from Joe Flacco. Just in preparedness. Joe Flacco's been in the league, what now, 14, 15 years, yeah. Something like that, crazy? Yeah.
And was good from the jump.
And the whole thing about being in the NFL is it's about longevity.
Yeah.
Tunch Ilkin told me when I got paid for the Pittsburgh Steelers and I was the third highest player on the team and I had never played a down, and I walked into that locker room and my locker was next to his. He said, okay, rookie, you got paid, now what? He said, you in this for the short term or the long term? So I'm in for the long term. He said, well, I need you at 6 o'clock in the morning. Come work out with me, film, da da da. All he was doing was preparing me for the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of habits that were going to carry me a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I was like Wilson, I'd be doing the same thing. I don't know the kid. I don't know what kind of attitude he has or whatever. But it's not looking good for him right.
Well,
now.
It's like you take the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love thing, and Aaron Rodgers says, you know, in just kind of paraphrasing, I don't have to teach this guy everything I know, but if I'm Jordan Love, I would be trailing him all the time. Never, ever get him out of your sights. It's what MJD did with Fred Taylor, mm-hmm. and you can come up with 1,000 different examples, but it's maturity that will lead Zach Wilson to find the recipe if he chooses to do it. It's immaturity that will lead him to sitting on the bench.
Well, he'll be in the wasteland of Baker Mayfield.
Right, exactly. Carolina. But that's the thing, is from what Robert Saleh said, I don't think – the issue is preparation. I don't think the issue is he's not getting into the building early enough with Joe Flacco. I think the issue is the punk we saw in the post-game press conference Sunday is the punk he is during the week.
Well, he may just freak. He may freak in a game and just make bad decisions, because I got to believe, other than the fact what we just said, is there's not enough good behind him to push him, but he's probably doing everything right at three-quarter speed. Like Leon's saying, you're not going to hit the quarterback in practice. But when you get to real game situations and they're trying to take his head off, then he goes into freak.
Well, here's another thing. What kind of command does he have in the huddle? Because if I'm an offensive lineman, I've got to believe that you can help us win. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I've got to believe. And it's not on Sundays. I've got to believe that you can help us win during the week. You know what I'm saying?
With every play.
What kind of presence do you have in the huddle? What kind of confidence do you have? How do you command the huddle? Huh? You know, those factor in on the rest of your team on how they perform based upon, I've been in the huddle with Brunel. Mark commands it. Mark, the leadership. When he walks in the huddle in the playoff game against Denver and we got 5 minutes to go and we need a touchdown to go up 10, and he comes in there, he claps his hands and says, hey, y'all guys, you having fun?
Mm-hmm.
That softens the mood. I can go to bat for this guy.
Right.
Because he's got that quiet confidence about
him. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, that's what it is.
At the end of the day, it's accountability.
Yes.
He's got, when someone asks him, are you at fault, whether you are or not, you got to say, I am.
You got to say yes.
Yeah, I am, absolutely.
Yep,
yeah,
100%. All you got to do is say,
it's on me.
Yep. We all got to play better, but I've got to play better.
You can go home and tell your cougar what you went through today. You had a bad day, which is fine.
He slipped right in the end.
He couldn't wait.
You got to take the ownership.
Because here's the thing. I want to bring this back to Jacksonville too.
I got this text that's just cracking me up.
And we're gonna bring in the text line 904-641-1010 is the number to reach us at. Whether you have thoughts on Zach Wilson, ham versus turkey. Doug Peterson's a ham guy, by the way. Or whatever college football rivalry you're looking forward to this week. Trevor Lawrence, as we've noted, he takes the blame. You know who else takes the blame? A top 10 running back in the league who resides in this town by the name of Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
Every time I have spoken to him after the first 10 games of this season, he has said, I need to be better. He could have had 125 yards like he did in Indy when he did against the Giants. Every single time he goes, I need to find ways to be better to help this team. And I need to be able to, you know, help my teammates get better.
Yeah, I just think individually you constantly have to push yourself. That's what makes greatness, is that good is the enemy of great, and you've got to be pushing yourself. So on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, you got to love this one. Why is it okay that Zach got benched after a 5-2 record because he played horrible, yet Trevor was awful against three teams this year, and we're told it's growing pains? Well, Leon, that may have a lot to do with the way he carries himself in the locker room and on the practice field and in the game situations. And I don't think Trevor's ever come out of a half with 2 yards of offense and said that he didn't lead to the loss. I mean, honestly, how can you figure that out?
First of all quarterbacks struggle. All quarterbacks struggle. If you play in this league long enough, you're going to struggle. Positionally, everybody struggles in this league. It's the fight back. When you struggle, and the accountability or holding yourself accountable when you do struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Trevor made a keynote in every presser. He said, listen, I've got to play better.
Yeah.
I'm costing this team wins. You know, those are the things that you look for in your quarterback, yeah. Accountability.
Plus,
that just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
According to Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network, it is not just Zach Wilson who has been benched. Davis Mills has also been benched by the Houston Texans. Kyle Allen will start for Houston on Sunday. Lovie Smith declined to make a starter in his press conference today, but reports have surfaced that it will indeed be Allen.
And this goes back to, what do you have? What are you playing for? Do we need to get in line early? Kyle Allen's a guy who's been bouncing around. Him and Brandon Allen.
It's also performance. Davis Mills has thrown 14 picks.
Yeah.
It's also performance. Zach Wilson's not a good player right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was just what happened last week may have been, okay, the final straw, mm-hmm. but the impetus is way sooner.
I would think so. This is not his first bad game. When you've got
5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, yeah. and you're not playing well, and you're completing 50-some percent of your passes.
Yeah. This is not your first bad game.
They're going to find a way to put you on the bench.
Also, we got to be fair about this, too, as well. As bad as Zach Wilson did play, you know that Bill Belichick – you know his record against guys like Zach Wilson.
Sure, of course.
You know he's going to conspire a defense that's going to confuse the kid and coverages and manipulate coverages and schemes and all that.
I totally agree. My thing with Trevor was this. There's 2 points about that. You're comparing him to Trevor. Number one is Trevor was up and down. Good game, bad game, good game, bad game. He's bad, 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 bad.
Yeah.
But they're winning despite him. And then number two, why didn't you bench him last year? Because the entire team was terrible and he needed to play. So now he's in his second year, and he's going good, bad, good, bad, good, good, bad, good, good. That's why you keep him in the game. He's getting better. He's trending upward.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, not trending upward.
No. The opposite of that. I did laugh.
Put it this way. If he had 16 touchdowns and 6 picks, he'd still be playing.
Right. And that's what happens is Saleh is a smart enough man to go, you know what? I have to give me the best chance to win football games. And I'm going to organize and decide who plays that gives me and the team the best chance to win. That's how I hang on to my job. That's how everyone hangs on to their job. I love what Ron Rivera said. Is Heinicke better than Carson Wentz? Have no idea. Carson Wentz has been in multiple NFL cities, and he's been relieved of his playing duties in multiple NFL cities. All Ron Rivera said, and it's not unlike what Zach had going until this week, was they were winning. At the very least, they were winning. And so Rivera's asked, why are you going with Heinicke instead of Wentz when Wentz is healthy and ready to come back? He goes, look at the record. Hey, come on. We're 5-1 with, and I don't remember the exact record, but, you know, basically, come on. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And so Heinicke has won his teammates over in a lot of situations, and that has a hell of a lot to do with it, not costing your football team. Heck, even the play, what was it, a Monday night game where he drew that personal foul against Graham, against Philadelphia, I mean, he was playing smart football, and that wins teammates over, that's for sure. I'm laughing on the text line. One guy says, Zach Wilson remind me of Johnny from The Karate Kid in the original movie. He does. He has the look. We've seen him dress up with that Karate Kid look, and he's got a little bit of a pout in him too, just like that. A little spoiled.
I wonder if the New York media will just eat Zach Wilson alive too, because
yes.
one of the things that they kept pressing him on was, why could you guys not get the ball down the field? And he smirked and was like, well, it's windy as hell out there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's an excuse.
Oh, yeah. They will eat him up. There's no doubt about it. The devour stage will soon take over for Zach if he doesn't figure it out.
All right. So let's pivot back, since I do see the text line saying, why are we talking about Zach Wilson and Davis Mills? Trevor Lawrence is our quarterback. So, yes, we will pivot back to the hometown Jaguars, because in case you're just joining us, Doug Peterson did meet the media for the first time this morning. And unlike the Jets, who are still in jockeying for position to make the playoffs, if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs. Your Jaguars are not.
No.
But Doug Peterson telling reporters today, this morning, that he still believes everything is right in front of the Jaguars. It's a 7-game season, and they dug themselves into a hole, need to fix some things, but he feels that this team is in the right mindset. Gibby, do you have that bite if you want to cue that up while Matt Hayes giggles at this?
Matt, I mean, come on. Well, he has got to be the guy trying to lead him in the right direction instead of telling him we have no answer.
Everything is not still there for them. I mean, let's be serious. Well, what he could say was, look, we've got 7 opportunities right now to show what kind of team we can be.
Yeah.
And games that matter. We still have 2 games against
the
Titans. Yeah. We still have to play the Cowboys. These are games that matter. These are big games. Let's see what we can do.
And
let's show everyone what we can do.
In the back of his mind, probably also knows personnel-wise, he doesn't have everything he needs. That's why he's sitting guys down.
Hell with that, man. Listen, we're going to make a run. We got 7 games to make a run.
So literally in a week, you've gone from
listen, I'm just telling you. I've been here. Not 3-7, but 4-7. I've been here. I'm being a little nostalgic right now.
Let me know when they get the 4-7, then we'll start talking.
No, I'm just saying I'm saying.
Sunday!
The only way you can keep this team motivated is let them know that, listen, we've been in a lot of games. We could have easily been 7-3 with 3-7. Okay, we are what our record shows. We got 7 games left. Let's make a run and see what the hell happens.
I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. All I'm telling you is you have 7 opportunities. Let's see what you got, man.
Let's do it. Let's bring it.
All right, hit Dougie Fresh, Gibby.
You know, I'm encouraged by the attitude of the team. I think they're in the right frame of mind, and anything's possible. You know, I've seen it. I've experienced it in this league. You know, you get a little luck on your side. You know, the ball bounces your way, and anything's possible. You know, but we're just taking it one game at a time right now, and we're focused on Baltimore.
What do you want him to
look
say,
you,
Matt?
Look at you laughing.
What do you
right
want
now,
him to say? I'm turning in the towel?
I can't. I'm believing, bro.
We're prepping for the draft.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, like, is that what you want? Like, hey, so how? Like, what are you using these next 7 games for? Evaluating your roster? Like, is that what we're going to say?
No, but my point is what I just said earlier, what I should say. We've got 7 opportunities here.
I mean,
we've got 7 games, and 4 or 5 of them are against the elite of the league.
Yeah.
Let's go see what we're made of.
Exactly. I mean, you can couch it both ways, and he still is basically saying the same thing. You know, you got to believe in what's in this room that you – and
– I don't mind him saying that. I mean, all coaches
say that. The
other
thing I like about it is that he knows that he has a football team that has been in a lot of games in the fourth quarter.
And listen, I remember the bone that TC gave us when we were 5-7. I'm going to tell you what the bone was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the end of the practice, we used to always practice, and we had to run condition with our pads on, full pads. We had to run like half gas or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bone was when we went 5-7, won that one game, is we could take our shoulder pads off and run.
Still got to run.
Still run the gases.
Oh, that's
so TC.
Okay, so
the little
thing. So when they lose this weekend, can we finally start zeroing in on Jordan Addison? Can we do that?
No, bro. No.
We can get in the playoffs at
December. December we'll do draft talk.
8-9. Okay, when we lose 2 more, then we can start
talking. It's the classic, we are officially eliminating Jacksonville.
We need the official.
Yeah.
We need the NFL stamp of approval.
Okay, because here's where the New York Football Jets are at right now, okay? They've benched somebody and they, quote, still fall under the heading in the hunt, okay? In the hunt. Or wild card or whatever. So
I know what you want. You want that. You want to be look on the TV and see the little screen where it says Jags are still on the hunt.
Yeah. Until they're officially
eliminated. You're about a year away, bro.
We're not bringing up Addison.
We got to keep chopping wood, guys.
I want to pull up the Raiders 2021 schedule, or even the Steelers too, because wasn't there like the scenario when the Jags beat the Colts last year? I mean, obviously it eliminated the Colts from playoff contention, but then also the Steelers got in, and yeah, here it is. So the Raiders won their last 4 games. Their last 5 of 7 games to get into the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure the Steelers, it was like a similar situation.
Yeah, Steelers did get in right there at the end, the last weekend of the season. And they didn't fare well, but we're talking about a football team that was right there at 500 and was able to get in. They had the tie as well, I'm pretty sure. And so they were right there. Anyway, that's what you're playing for. And honestly, more than anything else, a culture change, a believe, believability in the locker room? Because we've gone down this roster. There aren't a whole lot of guys that have playoff experience. There aren't a whole lot of guys that are veterans in that locker room that know how to win or get it done and have the recipe. All that stuff, you hope, is starting to just kind of, you know, plant that seed and believe that you can start becoming that type of football team.
I mean,
that's Doug's recipe right now.
I actually think they've planted the seed in the first 10 games.
Yeah.
You can see they're a different team. You can see they can win games. They just haven't done it. So I think they've already showed, look, this franchise potentially in a year, 2 years, 3 years is going to be a team to be reckoned with in the playoffs. But they're just not there right now, that's all.
No.
So I know Matt wants to get into what some of the pundits around the nation have the Jaguars doing in April's NFL draft. We may touch on that. It's still November. We said we wouldn't do draft talk until December, but we'll see, because there is some interesting philosophical moves that some of these national draft analysts are saying. And so we'll get into that a little bit. I do want to touch on Doug Peterson specifically noting the things that this team has to fix in the seven remaining games. He says they are fixable. They, not so coincidentally, are the same things that Coach Campo has continued to reiterate on this program that he would also change. And so if Coach Campo's seeing it from afar, if Doug Peterson is saying it in the locker room, in the building, that says to me that if they are fixable, if this team can find a way to execute down the stretch, then they should be corrected, no?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the, honestly, that is the key, is to identify guys that you can form your future around. That really is what it boils down to. There are guys that are coming up for contracts that they're going to have to make a decision on.
There are guys playing for their contracts right now. No doubt about it.
And look, there are also guys that are playing for the contracts that they know aren't going to be here next year. Juwan Taylor's probably one of them because they have drafted to replace him. The guy that they drafted didn't beat him out. But that's the future of that position because Juwan's going to be a little too high priced, I would think. And so, yeah, all that stuff has to play into what happens in the next seven games.
We'll get into that and a whole lot more coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We also have a Wednesday edition of our picks. No JJ LaSalva, but that's okay. Andrew Gibson is going to be our pick organizer, and we're very excited for that. And, of course, we also will be joined Ira Shaffel. Yes, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Coming up later on.
And, of course, our I-9 High School Sports Half Hour coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. A loaded Wednesday to get you set before we head into the Thanksgiving break. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
1 o'clock hour is here, XL Primetime. Last day of the work week for a lot of us. That's us included, because we're going to enjoy little Thanksgiving tomorrow, family and friends. Hope everybody's ready to go. We had a great Thanksgiving, 1010 XL style yesterday. Plenty of people are going to be, I'm thinking, all kinds of sides to go along with that turkey. I got to fry my second turkey of the week tomorrow, so I can't wait. Looking forward to that. So this morning, I don't know, like 5:55 this morning, the garage door goes up.
What?
Like, boom, eyes up.
Randomly?
No.
All right.
I knew they were coming. Anyway, Hyla and her son-in-law made it from Nashville. So they took off last night, I don't know, around 9 p.m., something like that. Maybe a little bit before that. Anyway, they made good time because they drove through the night.
Okay.
So garage door comes up. They got little Archie, a little Datsun that comes rolling in there with them. And they just basically went in and crashed. And so we got the clan together ready. It'll be fun.
I thought you were going to say it was some sort of like Thanksgiving intruder.
No, I was like, oh
boy, someone was looking for that turkey.
Exactly. Someone was hungry. But no, it was just happy to get them back. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that have all sorts of travel plans. They're talking about millions and millions of people. It's like, I think they've called it pre-pandemic in terms of travel. So I know people are probably either getting on the road or they got people coming in to celebrate Thanksgiving. So everybody, hopefully you will have a good one. That's for sure. We've been talking ball. We've been talking about all these big games. Leon mentioned it earlier. We haven't said a whole heck of a lot about Michigan and Ohio State, which we will touch on because the college football rankings are back out. Nothing's really changed. It's the top four that have stayed the same. But Michigan, who was rooting for Tennessee to get knocked out of the conversation, has definitely moved up. So has USC. And the winner of Ohio State and Michigan, they're going to be solidified, you would think, as one of four, Maddie. At least it would make sense. And then the other one is going to be rooting for LSU to lose to make sure that they don't have a chance to get to the party the way things stack up right now.
My guess is unbeaten Georgia and whoever wins that game Saturday between Ohio State and Michigan are in no matter what.
Yeah.
They can lose and they're in.
Lose in their championship game.
Yeah, the other two spots are, you know, up for grabs. So I don't like the way TCU is being treated. Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous. I think the fact that the the selection committee chairman, who was Boo Corgan, the NC State athletic director. Again, he's right. just the face of the committee. He's just the guy out there that has to take the sling.
Yeah, but he freaked last night. He panicked.
But I will say this. You can't sit there and say you're holding against TCU the fact that they have to come back and win games when you sit there and say Ohio State's win against Notre Dame is something big for them. They trailed with a minute to go in the third quarter. They trailed Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You can't say Penn State's a big win when they trailed to Penn State in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So you can't hold it against TCU and say it's great for Ohio State. So it's like what it shows is it clearly shows they're trying to protect brands.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to keep Ohio State and Michigan as high as possible for the idea of the winner, no matter what, is in. Mm-hmm. That the championship game cannot hurt them. Because they need one of those two teams in, because that's a brand, that's a big brand, and that's what the playoffs all about. Yeah. Right now with the four teams anyway, not down the road when it's 12. So that's what really makes me more upset about anything, is they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, and they're not really holding every team to each of the standards they're putting down.
That's really the challenge, is that they still want the best presentation they can get on the television screen. But it was so fun. I don't remember exactly what the question was, but Boo was pressed by Reese Davis, of all people. I don't think you can say Reese Davis presses anybody. And Boo basically said, oh, come on. Oh, that's a difficult question to answer. You know, just talking about whether or not if Michigan lost, could they survive and get in the game.
I just can't get over the fact that, and I understand, you know, there's some discrepancy of, oh, Michigan and Ohio State have played X amount of ranked opponents. And I respect the fact that when TCU played Kansas, they were 19th, and obviously they've fallen off a bit since then. Ditto to Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. who was 9 at the time. But you have to play who's on your schedule. That's the fact of the matter. And TCU has knocked off 5 ranked opponents.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that blows my mind, is how can you look at that, knowing that they did what they did, and as I look at Michigan's schedule, how many ranked opponents do I see? One.
It's a small number.
One. Penn State. That's it.
So, Matt, you know I love chaos, right? So I'm going to give you this chaotic.
You and me both.
Yeah, I'm going to give you this chaotic scenario. You tell me who's in the front four. All right, and the final four. Your final four. Georgia, LSU playing the SEC championship. Georgia loses.
Okay. Yeah, LSU's okay. One team, man.
Okay, so.
The LSU Ohio, beat Texas A&M this weekend,
Ohio,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ohio State plays Michigan. They beat them. And then they go to the Big Ten championship and they lose.
Okay.
Okay.
To the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, TCU plays what, Kansas State?
First of all, hang on real quick. If that happens, we will never, ever hear the end of it from her. You know that, right?
Okay.
I'm actually debating. I've got a couple different.
TCU plays Kansas State.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They lose.
Right.
To Kansas State.
Right.
Who the hell is in the top four?
Ohio State, Georgia, LSU. Does USC win or lose?
They lose to Utah.
Again.
I hate to say this to people, and I know people are not going to be happy. Alabama.
Wow.
Well, I mean, they lost in the last second of the game in 2 games.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. True.
So that'd be 3 SEC teams?
That would be 3, yeah.
That's a dream come true right here in the
that's
SEC.
That's a Josie dream right there is what that is.
And here's the thing, because we were talking about this on Helmets and Heels last night, too. Like, I just don't understand how you can look at what Bryce Young did in those 2 games, and number one, not send him to New York for the Heisman, but number two, not say that that team isn't going to be in every game because of that quarterback.
I can tell you this, if they do get in that tournament, ain't nobody want a part of them, including Georgia. Nobody wants a part of them.
No.
Because they'll be completely revamped at that point.
You completely, think so?
Oh, yeah, man.
I would hope so.
You're going to give Saban 3 weeks to prepare for someone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It would be dangerous. It would be dangerous because, you know, we were talking about a guy who was, you know, he's the cat of college football.
I don't know who the one seed would be at that point. I guess the one seed would probably still be Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
So it would be Georgia-Alabama in that semifinal. Yeah, that would be,
that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Listen, as much as I try and rip, you know, the fact that the SEC is trying to own the college football world and always try and wedge their way back in, and generally speaking, the SEC plays the best ball, and so there's always going to be a good argument to get them in. But it wasn't that long ago that Ole Miss was a top 10 team and just got smacked around by Arkansas, and Arkansas is a multi-loss team. And so there's warts on every conference.
Yeah, I don't think that – they will not put 3 teams from the SEC in. I think the best way for Alabama to get in is for LSU to lose in that game. So Georgia, then you have Georgia's automatically in. But the rest of Leon's scenario, where Ohio State beats Michigan, because then Michigan is out because they played no one.
Mm-hmm.
They have no non-conference. Their non-conference schedule is Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Right, and they struggled against Penn State, the ranked team that we were talking about, and Ohio State was at least able to pull away.
So if Ohio State wins that, Michigan's done. So then you've got Georgia – then you've got Ohio State, And then if TCU has one loss and USC has two losses, I think you might have TCU and then Alabama's your four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look,
to be fair, Joe, the question then is going to be, do you want a two-loss USC, which is not a Pac-12 champ because they've lost to Utah, right? Mm-hmm. Or Oregon or whoever. Well, then if it's Oregon, it's two-loss Oregon.
SC lost to Oregon.
So let's just say, here's an even better scenario. Two-loss Oregon beats USC.
Oh.
So now you have two-loss Oregon as a Pac-12 champion against two-loss Alabama that hasn't even won its division. But two-loss Oregon has a 46-point knot on their head from Georgia.
Alabama in.
Right, so then Alabama gets in. That's what I'm telling you. That's how Alabama gets in.
Alabama hasn't lost to Georgia by 46 yet. I saw this play.
Right, yeah. Right, keyword there, yet.
Yeah. And who knows whether they will or not. But still, that would be the chaos. And most SEC fans obviously want something like that.
Is Clemson out of it?
Yes and no.
I was surprised they were as ranked as high as they were.
If all that happens, Gibby, and then Clemson wins out, then Clemson's probably that four.
Yeah. Clemson would have a – because we're talking about a team that just barely suffered their loss. They would be
– It was to a top 25 team.
Average team as average gets.
Clemson hasn't missed a playoff, have they?
There's never been a year when Clemson and Alabama have been out of the playoff.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and so that's where we're at right now. The possibility of that exists, but the fact that South Carolina had a bit of a signature win helps Clemson a little bit. Just at least up, and they're a 14-point favorite in this game, so they should win this game. You look at some of these streaks that could come to an end. Clemson, I think, has a 7-game win streak against the Gamecocks. Take a look at how many times Alabama has beaten Auburn, and then Auburn jumping up and maybe surprising somebody. I kind of doubt it, but like you said earlier, Matt, Cadillac could change the fortunes. And we mentioned Georgia Tech. It's not like Georgia Tech has enough game for Georgia, but Georgia's looking ahead. They can't help but look ahead.
Georgia Tech could be bowl eligible.
you never know.
I don't think Brent Key gets that job. I mean, I guess if, I don't know, nobody takes it, nobody wants it. Yeah. The first four or five guys they offer to doesn't take it, maybe.
Yeah. I appreciate what he has done. He's made the team look better, a little more serious about the effort.
I agree.
And it's a lot like what you
might have earned himself a G5 job in the process, actually.
Yeah, might have. Yeah. And you have to give Clark Lee credit for Vanderbilt. If they were to knock off Tennessee when Tennessee's just sitting there with a big old frown on their face.
Imagine that.
And the still is empty. Oh, yeah. They could pick them off.
And then you lose in the bowl game, you got four losses.
Yeah. And by the way, Josh Heupel, for what it's worth, at UCF has dealt with some of these things inside the locker room before and whatnot, and sometimes it can get sideways. It can get sideways.
Isn't it so nice, though, all this parity, all these if this happens, if this happens, if that happens? Because we haven't always had that in the college football playoff race, and as far as the Heisman goes as well, I don't think we've ever had – I mean, last year was open, but that was because no one really was separating themselves from the pack. Now it's like, well, Matt and I made the case yesterday. Bryce Young is the best player in the game, even if his team has two losses. Right. Caleb Williams is out there playing on the West Coast, so he's not getting the attention maybe that if he did, if he played for a different team. Max Duggan, if he played for a different team, we're talking about a completely different player. I just appreciate the parity right now that we're seeing across college football.
Let me just interrupt you real quick, okay? This is because you guys are going to love this. Mm-hmm. So I get emails all the time from schools promoting their All-American candidates.
Yeah.
Please consider blah, blah, blah. I just got an email from Iowa. They asked me to please consider their punter.
Oh.
No, they didn't. I have to text one of them later.
Torrey Taylor, punter.
Yes. He didn't get nominated for the Ray Guy Award, and so somebody, which is the Punter of the Year Award, so they resurfaced from when he was at a punting camp over the summer because he wasn't nominated last year despite having the best average in the country.
Right,
and he goes, those voters, they have their SEC bias, and it's all right. I don't mind. He's from Australia. How can you hate him?
I love Aussies.
You can't hate on the Aussies, man.
They beat
please consider our punter, JoJo.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell's on there, though. Is it Jack Campbell, and then is it Torrey Taylor?
Laporta, who's might be a first-round pick.
Yeah. Although you heard he's not playing this weekend.
Why?
Knee injury. Suffered last week against Minnesota. He's still the captain, but he's not playing, so that'll be curious to see if he if he plays in the bowl game, too.
Way too much Iowa football on the show.
Yeah. We got to press on. All right, because we have got picks coming up. Okay, Gibby, I'll provide the picks to you. You'll run the show and make sure that we get three good college games, which I have for you.
I've got them.
Yeah, and three good NFL games. And we'll update the standings couple of guys went 1-5 this past week. I say guys, that at least gave a little bit of it away. So we'll tell you about that coming up. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. Coming up December 7th, the Golf Club of Southampton with our Toys for Tots tournament. It is a sellout, and we're always just stoked for everybody that participates, including all the people that are going to make sure that they are out there, like Sonny's, making sure that they got a great little setup for us on one of the holes. Zaxby Smoothie King, Ale House, I can go on and on. But all that will be going on. If you still want to donate a toy, you can make sure that you bring an unwrapped toy for the Marines to the Golf Club of Southampton between now and then or day of, or drop it off right here at 1010XL headquarters, and we will make sure it gets in the hands of the Marines to make sure that those kids have a smile for Christmas.
Serving up a heapin' helpin' of Big 72. Lunch with Leon.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
On 1010XL.
All right, this is the day before Thanksgiving. We normally have our picks on Friday, but the anticipation has grown because it has come down to a short work week, so we got to get our picks in. Now, Gibby's going to run this, but let me at least give you an idea of where we are. I mentioned two have gone the 1-5 route this past week. And so it stays tied at the top. Matt, Mia, and yours truly, Josie, were rocking it at 37-30-5 after a mediocre week from all of us. Okay, that's called 3-3. It's kissing your cousin. Meanwhile, JJ and Big Sirce, even though he is you're a two-time champion, aren't you?
I am.
You're a two-time heavyweight champion. They went a collective tidy 2-10, a pair of 1-5s last week. I was shocked to see this. So we're 37-30-5, JJ 34-33-5, Leon limping 27-40-5. But I see you. I smell a comeback, just like you brought back the Mac yesterday.
Just like the Jags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, seven games left.
I'm not worried.
Last 7 weeks, he's closing strong. All right, Gibby, go ahead and run it for us, man.
All right, we begin with college football. You hear that college football music. This is the closest line that we have in the college football ranks so far in this pick contest. The Egg Bowl, Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Ole Miss -2 in this one.
All right, so we're going to rotate?
Yeah, we'll rotate.
All
You're
right.
up.
I will take the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and I will grab those 2 points. I'm just going to go ahead and put our names in as far as which direction we are going in. I'm taking those 2 points.
I'm going to go with Lane Train gets back on the tracks before he leaves Friday to take the job at Auburn.
I'm a little nervous about the drama of the week, actually. A little nervous about that. I think that's why Lane came out and sent those tweets yesterday, because he's trying to slow the train of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to take Ole Miss, the better team.
All right, you're taking Ole Miss. Let me just jot these down, make sure I'm good to go. It's so funny the way he talked right there, Leon. I had him penciled in as a Mississippi Stater, but he swung to the right on me on that one. What you got?
I'm going to take Mississippi State.
All right, you like Mississippi State?
Mm-hmm, and the points.
The fight and Mike
it's
Leaches.
The only way to swing, bro.
And you're going to take the points. All right, we will get the picks from JJ a little bit later on. He says, look, it's World Cup time. I'm in my cup, so I'll let you know later on who I got. All right, Gibby, continue.
All right, we've got this one from South Carolina, the Gamecocks and Clemson, the Tigers, -14.5 in this one.
All right, so I went first last time, Maddie, Mia.
I'm going with the Tigers to cover. I know it's a huge number, but I think that we're all so high on cocky right now. We are high and we are cocky on the Beamer Mobile. That's why I think Clemson will win this game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. It's such a big number. Is it 14.5, Gibby?
Yeah, 14.5.
I'm taking a hook.
You're taking
I'll take the cocks and the hook. Yes, okay. Yes.
I am too.
All right, good. I feel like
I see 35-21 coming. I see it.
Yeah, I feel like I got to do the same thing. Honestly, there's something about a team that all of a sudden just lifts themselves up, and then another one that is sagging after
a loss.
But
they are so up and down this year, man.
Oh, they are. Look, they have been terrible. All right,
terrible.
So I'm putting Matt in, myself, and Sirs in.
I'm taking the Gamecocks
right?
points. Yeah.
Sir Big Spur
yes,
is what you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so Mia, the lone one on the other side. Just got to make sure as I talk, I type. All right, go ahead, Gibby.
All right, the final college game that we have, the big one, Michigan at Ohio State. The Buckeyes getting 7.5.
That's a hook.
Man, hey, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was going Michigan all the way, no matter the points. just, man, I don't know.
You were going for him up? Outright?
Yeah, I was going straight out. I was taking Michigan straight up, man. I don't. Oh, man. 7.5, huh?
Yeah.
I'll take Michigan in the points.
I will also take Michigan in the points, even with Blake Corum out. I don't think either of these teams have really faced anybody.
Wait, he's officially out now?
Well, no, sorry, he is playing. Sorry, he's, yeah, right. he's banged up. Yeah, False alarm. False alarm, yeah, please, Wolverine fans, don't come for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think he's banged up. I didn't really like the rest of their running back committee last week when he did exit the game. And so if he can't be full strength, if he can't have his Heisman moment, yeah, I think it'll be the Bucks or it'll be the Buckeyes. But I do think Michigan will cover. I really don't like the total of 56. To be quite frank, I think this is going to be a slugfest in Columbus.
Yeah, and you know, on the end of that statement, I'm just going to go the other way. I'm going to take the maize and blue. Okay,
you're taking Michigan.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the points because both of you.
I took Michigan in
the points. Yeah, we both just took Michigan in the points. That's what we both did.
Both did, huh?
See, this is the problem right here. This is what you do.
I'm writing it down.
And then you muddy the water, and then the following week you'll say, you didn't take them.
No, I'm writing it down right here. I have it official. I'll show it to you.
I know how you work, Josie.
That is why I am taking the Ohio State Buckeyes, okay? Mm-hmm. I was just trying to see if I could
catch you. So now you're taking Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm just trying to catch you guys. Right. Just trying to see what you...
Yeah, I'm taking the Buckeyes as well.
Okay, so Leon... I mean,
that's a good pick because they're gonna, you know, they've got a lot of motivation from last year. Mm-hmm. It's a good pick.
Yeah. All right, so that's split right down the middle.
It's Michigan, in Columbus as well.
And that's the Mias and the Mats taking the M's. And Josie and Leon taking Ohio State. All right, Gibby.
Now we go to the National Football League. This is a Thanksgiving staple. The Dallas Cowboys usually host one on Thanksgiving. They will do this tomorrow against the New York Football Giants. The Cowboys -9.5.
Oh, gosh, that's a big number. I will say, did you see what, all the players that didn't travel for the Giants? There's a lot of guys banged up.
And just what's so interesting is what came out of this last week with the Detroit Lions. That is a big number. Jerry Jones says it's the most complete game he's ever seen as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys at home on Thanksgiving. I'm gonna eat those points like I eat the drumstick tomorrow. Okay, I'm taking them.
I will also take the G-men. I think the Cowboys will win the game, but on the heels of Jerry Jones' comments, there's no way they put two back to back and just be, oh, now they're the world beaters.
You
I
both
just don't
got the Giants
it.
And the points.
Yes,
I think the Cowboys are gonna kick their ass. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Cowboys.
Good. Yeah, I got the Cowboys to cover.
All right, Matt and Leon, you're on the D-Town side. All right, Gibby?
Well, to point this out, both are 7-3. Dallas maybe feels like they're playing a little bit better for sure. The second NFL game we have, the Buccaneers getting 3.5 points at the Cleveland Browns.
Three and a half. They are laying 3.5.
There's something going on there we don't know about. Deshaun's not back yet.
Yeah.
I got the Bucks covering.
When is he back? Next week?
Yep. December 4th.
He's allowed to practice now.
I got the Bucks covering. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got the Bucks laying 3.5. Let me make sure I put that on the right side of the ledger. I am going to take those points and take the Cleveland Browns. Maddie?
So the Browns this year at home when they lose by 1 to the Jets, by 2 to the Chargers. They got crushed by the Patriots. They usually play right. One score game against the Bills. They usually play really well at home. I'm going to take the Browns.
Okay, you're taking the Browns.
I like that. I'm going to take the Browns as well.
You take the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wonder what. All right. Okay. All right. So again, alone on an island. Which
by the way, real quick, you don't mind it. Yeah, chance of rain is high in Columbus Saturday for Ohio State, Michigan.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there for you.
It's a mutter.
Could be nasty for the Browns game,
Father
too.
Father was a mutter. Right? Mother was a mutter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do we got, Gibby?
The final game of the NFL schedule for us on these picks, the Cincinnati Bengals, 1.5 at the Tennessee Titans.
Which, by the way, Joe Burrow just met with reporters, and he says that he believes Ja'Marr Chase will play this weekend.
Ooh. It's a playoff game rematch, I think.
That's a question for Dr. Barry. Yeah, all right. Barry breakdown. We have to ask him about Ja'Marr Chase's hip coming up. So you like...
1.5, huh?
Mm-hmm. Matt?
1.5, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I see 2.5, according to my bookie.
Oh, it went up, huh?
Yeah, I had to make it official here earlier.
So it's 1.5, that's what it is.
It's what it is.
All right. I'm going to take the Titans. Titans at home.
Mm-hmm. The Titans at home is a dog?
Yep.
I like the Bengals because I believe in Doug Peterson when he says that weird things can happen in the playoff race.
right.
It's not going to come back to haunt me at all.
I'm going to go on the son-in-law's side because he got my baby here safely. So he tried to even walk in my house with a Titans sweatshirt on. I told him to take it off. But I still am going to go ahead and go in that direction. Sirs?
This is a playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
This is absolutely a playoff game. Who do I trust, Tannehill or Joe Cool?
I know, but home dogs in the NFL, I love them.
Yeah, I know.
NFL.
You know what? I'm going to go with Joe Burrow because he smokes a fine cigar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Let me tell you something. Last week, without Jamar Chase, saw him move the ball around, and he still cannot count on the protection that he needs up front.
I was just going to say, have you seen that Tennessee defensive line?
Oh, my gosh. He still cannot count on it, but he still makes unbelievable plays.
I know he does.
All right, so we got me on the Cincy side. I'm on the Titans side. Matty and Big Sirs, you're on the Titans side? Or you're on the –
I got Cincy. I got Cincy.
No, I got Titans. Burrow. I got Titans.
Okay. All right, so
– by the way, see the throw that Joe Burrow made last week in the back of the end zone? The throw that Trevor threw the pick on, he made the throw.
Yeah, he's
same exact play.
That's why I call it the effort stat, the turnovers in the red zone. Yeah, there's literally four guys that are just going to say, I can make that throw, and it's Burrow, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Trevor Lawrence, and it's Aaron Rodgers. And that's the reason that those are the top four in red zone turnovers now.
It's something. It's tough. All right, now, real quick, since we did bring that up, how about a funky fact as we wrap up our picks before Big Sirs heads out, because I just want to throw this at you.
Time now for a funky fact. So, get funky with Funky Buddha.
Funky Buddha's got that delicious IPA working for you, and especially around the holiday time, you're hanging out at home, you want to get you a delicious IPA or the Floridian, whatever it might be, just head on in and check it out from Funky Buddha. All right, so let me bring this number up, and this is one that kind of got me just a little bit. Surprisingly, when we talk about what the, those guys that make plays at the top, Trevor Lawrence and some of these other guys, what do we think Trevor, like, he's already gone past his touchdown number from last year. As I look for this question real quick, what do you think his overall touchdown total will be once we get to the end of the season?
So wait, this is a fact or this
is a
projection?
I'm just asking you because I just said I'm scrambling, I'm stumbling, I'm looking for this question. I just wanted to know what you thought.
Well, where is he at right now?
All right. He right now has 13 touchdowns.
Oh, just going pass. You're not saying total touchdowns.
Right now, passing 13 touchdowns through 10 games this season. 227 of 348, 2,300 plus yards, 13 touchdowns.
I think he gets to 22.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be nice, honestly.
Well, before the start of the season, I wanted him to double his touchdowns from last year and cut his interceptions in half. So I'm still going to go at 24. And what, how many intercepts you had last year?
17.
Yeah. I'm still going 24 and 10. 24 and 8.
I think he'll finish with 19.
Yeah, 19. I'm getting him into the 20. I'm getting him into that 21, 22 range, something like that, because I just feel like things, this next seven games are going to be key. And if he already is at 13, I could easily see him getting 10 touchdowns down the stretch. So, I could put him around 23. And feel pretty good about it. All right, so I need the four guys with a funky fact, four guys in the league right now to throw for at least 2,000 yards so far this season and rush for at least 3 touchdowns. Okay? Four guys to throw for at least 2,000 yards and rush for at least 3 TDs.
Well, Trevor's one of them.
This season. That's why I brought the question up.
Trevor's one of them.
Yep.
So, Mahomes, ding. So, we'll ding that.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes.
Josh Allen.
All right, now we got another one.
All right, so Josh Allen and Trevor, not Mahomes?
Nope.
No Mahomes. Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Boogie.
Nope.
No
Boogie.
No.
Oh, I think I know one of them.
No Boogie.
A little surprised by
Geno
that.
Smith?
Nope. Gibby, don't be afraid. You can
Tua.
Guess.
Jalen Hurts.
Tua.
There you go.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is another one.
Okay. Not Tua?
No Tua.
No Tua.
There's one more,
Tua.
Huh?
One more.
2,000 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Three
rushing touchdowns. 2,000 passing yards.
Is it Zach Wilson?
No.
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 Oh, I think you just named him a few minutes ago, actually.
Go for it. Who?
Burrow.
Joe
Burrow. There it is.
Well done,
Burrow, the cigar smoker. So there you go. Gibby, if you got that yes, sir, soundbite, that's always good to hear, especially on the day before Thanksgiving. He and that big old bowling ball of his.
Imagine that feed at his house, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. He loves his brown water, he loves his beer, and he loves his feed.
Oh, yeah. He's just going to – he's loving life is what he is.
Yeah, he's
– All right, speaking of loving life, Big Sirs, you're out the door. Do you have a Jag win on Sunday before you do the fifth quarter with Hack and Coach?
I do.
You do?
I do. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Jags to win.
Okay.
I'm going to go with them to win. Against, it's going to be a tough task.
You're going against El Boogie? I
never go against El Boogie, except they go with the Jaguars.
All right, I love it.
I got 19-13.
All right.
Wow.
And Thanksgiving plans tomorrow?
Today. I'm actually headed to Auntie's.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Give Auntie a big old hug.
Driving the Auntie's?
I'm driving the Auntie's. Soon as we leave.
Are you going to bring back leftovers?
Huh?
You going to bring back leftovers?
Yeah, I'll bring back.
I just want you.
Well, you stay in your fridge.
Tell me what you want.
What, you name it, bro. Whatever she's got, we'll take.
I'm going to take a plate. I'm going to take a nice big old bowl of her fried corn.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
Yeah.
Now, listen. You give her your own hug, and then you give her a big XL
I'm
going to
give her a 10-10 XL primetime hug, too.
All right, Big Sirs, enjoy it. Yeah, the next time you hear Leon, it will be part of the fifth quarter after the Jaguars win over the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll look forward to that coming up on Sunday. Kickoff show starts us off at 8. But before that, it's Breaking Bones Sunday morning at 7:30. We'll say hello to our man Gio, Dr. Barry, coming up next.
Our next guest is not affiliated with the NFL or Jacksonville Jaguars.
Discussion of injuries is solely based on opinion.
Now, the Barry Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Injury Breakdown.
I'm coming in hot. Oh, Doc's coming in hot. Gio ready to roll day before Thanksgiving as we get ready for a little Barry breakdown. Fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews. If you've got a sports injury question, we would love to hear from you. We like hearing your pain because you go through it. We get to talk about it. And so we have had people send in some unbelievable pictures of their pain, questions about their pain. You can hit Dr. Barry with those at 641-1010. Hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We'll try and hit one or two if we can today, but if not, we'll make sure that we get to it. When we do Breaking Bones, Sunday morning, 7:30. Doc, are you fired up for a little turkey tomorrow?
Yeah, man. It'd be nice just to not have to go to work for a couple of days.
Yeah. Just kind of chill, sit back. Now, does the lovely Mrs. Dr. Barry, is she a cooker of turkey, or what is
she
the spread
for you?
She loves
everything about Thanksgiving, the turkey, the stuffing. I mean, whatever is the classic Thanksgiving stuff.
What's your favorite side?
The sweet potatoes with the marshmallow. Is there a name for that?
Sweet potato casserole. And you're saying you got to have those marshmallows on top.
Does your wife make that?
No, she doesn't make it. I just like it. Like, if you know when you go somewhere and they make it.
All right. All right. So, listen, we all have those sweet sides that you can't get enough of. That's for sure. All right, Doc. This was not a sweet end to Hendon Hooker's season. He is a guy that a lot of people are saying, hey, this guy's had a Heisman-worthy season, and he was electrifying throughout most of his games. We all know that they got beat up by Georgia. So anyway, they're coming back. They're in a position where they think they might be able to play for a championship, and then lo and behold, Spencer Rattler in South Carolina pops up and just punches them right in the mouth. Doesn't happen until the fourth quarter, Doc. They're getting beaten pretty badly. Hendon Hooker's just barely scrambling for a little room. Take a look at the video that Matt's showing you.
Not even scrambling.
I mean, he's just
once again
moving,
Doc,
man.
Once again, non-contact.
And you say it all the time that it's just – and we're talking – that was a grass field.
He wasn't touched.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of studies on this, and we talk about this. 70% non-contact. It is the valgus stress of your knee. It is the notch, which we call the intercondylar notch, or the tunnel that the ACL goes through. If you have what we call like an A notch, imagine like an A frame on a house, right? It's very tight.
Yeah.
And that ACL hits it, it can tear. So when we actually do the surgery, we do what we call a notchplasty, where we drill, shave the bone to make it wider and rounder,
right?
More maybe like an oval or round shape, so there's more space. So the size of your ACL in females is smaller compared to males, but there's a lot of factors, and those factors are the reason why it's a mostly non-contact injury, because the size of your ACL, the proprioception of your knee, the size of the notch itself, that has nothing to do if someone hits you.
It's crazy because you and I are doctors, and one of our contemporaries said on the broadcast that it was the valgus, and I had already. I mean, I'd said it like a
you
second
know the lingo.
Earlier.
Yeah, you're there.
I knew exactly.
You're smarter than me. You didn't have to pay $300,000 to go to med school to learn.
I'm a doctor on the.
Well,
radio.
I love too that Joe knew the lingo when I brought up this injury to Jamar Chase.
Yeah, and the sublic chasing.
I couldn't even pronounce it, but Joe knew what it was. So let's pivot to that, Doc. Matt, did you have something else on him?
I was just saying that, Doc. He made the cut, and literally went down like a sack of rocks.
Because when you cut your knee, right, you get that your knee. Goes in that valgus force when you go to cut, and that's where it gives out.
And he was like screaming.
Yeah, so, it hurts. I mean, it's a big pop. Everyone always says, I feel a pop. Someone saying, they go down, I feel a pop. No one touched me. I felt the pop is like number one thing ACL.
But sometimes it doesn't hurt. It's not like that painful, right?
You will see occasionally, you'll see some guys who get up and will be able to hop off and limp off. No one has to carry them or anything. Yes, that will happen. But the majority of people get immediate swelling, and they get a popping sound that they hear and they feel, and they're down with pain for a while.
So, Jamar Chase, we talked about it a few weeks ago when he suffered the injury in late October. It's a hip fracture, although it's never really been disclosed exactly what it is. And so, the reports that I'm reading suggest that, at least from the video, it looks like a hip subluxation injury, similar to Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, not Tua Tagovailoa's hip dislocation from a few years back when he was still at Alabama. So Jamar Chase is at practice right now. Just saw some Bengals reporters tweeted out some videos of him. So that would have meant he missed 4 weeks. He had tried to play on it, re-injured it, and then they shut him down for that month. So I'm curious as far as how this could affect him running for our fantasy football guys out there, and gals out there. You know, how does this affect his usage on Sunday?
Well, it's interesting because you're seeing they said hip subluxation, and then we also heard hip stress fracture.
Yes.
Right? So a subluxation is when something partially doesn't fully dislocate. It doesn't come out of socket, but it comes out just a little bit and then pops back in, right? And that's called a subluxation. A stress fracture is an area in the body that is getting a lot of stress, and you get a fracture of it. But a lot of times you don't see it on x-ray. Sometimes you have to get an MRI to find it. It happens in the military guys in their tibia. In runners, happens in their tibia. And also can happen in your hip, called a femoral neck stress fracture, which is what we originally thought. Depending on where that fracture is, can dictate whether it's surgical or not surgical, also the size. He was on crutches for 4 weeks. So that's one of the treatments, depending on where it's at, is you're non-weight bearing. You don't walk on it until you have full healing. Once it's healed, you can go back out and do what you want. It's been 4 weeks. Bones don't really heal in 4 weeks, right? We always talk about it takes longer than that. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he had something else to make this go faster, right? These guys, they get like the IV medications that people with osteoporosis have, and it grows like gangbusters. But, you know, or maybe it's an anomaly that did heal after 4 weeks. But normally, I wouldn't expect it in 4 weeks, a little soon, but who knows. And so now they're saying it's fine. He can go out and play. How's it going to affect him? That's a good question. The question, you know, he hasn't played in 4 weeks, hasn't walked on it for 4 weeks, in theory. So you should be non-weight bearing. And the fact that he's going to go from not walking to full running is a big jump.
At that level. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how much they use him and how well he does. I think if I had to bet money, he's not going to be his normal self. If I had to, you know, guess.
Then why play him? Like why is he risking further injury by playing?
It's possible if it's not fully healed, yes. If it's not fully healed, absolutely. If it's fully healed, then in theory, no, right? It's healed and it's fine. But well, I guess we'll see.
All right, now, a quick question from the text line. This is a good one, Joe, if we can interrupt real quick. Mm-hmm. So guy says, I'm 25 years old, my junior year of high school. I rolled my ankle and tore the tendons around it. Then my sophomore year of college, I did it again. Now my ankle rolls even when I'm walking on a flat surface. Yeah. Is surgery the only thing that can fix it?
At this point, most likely. So what he tore was his ligaments, not his tendons. Remember, tendons attach bone to muscle. Your muscle becomes tendon and then it attaches. If you tore your tendons, then you wouldn't have a foot that moves at all because your tendons are ripped off. So it's the ligaments.
Right.
And that's very common. People confuse it too. So the ligaments are what's torn. And that's why it's important after you sprain your ankle to do therapy to get your proprioception back and let those scar in. Now, he probably now has an unstable ankle, and that's why it rolls all the time. At this point, he could try therapy. I don't know whether he did therapy or not. It's not going to hurt him to try therapy, but it would most likely not work, and he would most likely need some sort of surgery to reconstruct those ligaments that are completely
torn.
So
you're making them tighter is all you're doing, basically.
Well, at this point, there's no repair, right? You're reconstructing it, right? So you're going to just try to make it tighter, get some scar tissue in there, add some reinforcement to where those ligaments should be because they're not working correctly.
Right. Let's stay on the hip for one more. Leonard Fournette, old friend of the folks here in Duval County, suffered a hip pointer injury in Germany. Todd Bowles telling reporters this morning that he is still sore, so it's unknown exactly what his status would be for this week. What exactly is a hip pointer, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very generic term. It's basically just a bruise. If you feel your hips, you have your iliac crest, right? That's what we call it, kind of where the belt, your belt almost goes around. And any bruising around that area is a hip pointer, because they call it the point of the hip because it sticks out.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a very generic term of just bruising along the iliac crest because it hurts.
Yeah, it's funny because you think this one is the hip pointer up here.
Right, it can be the whole
yeah,
right.
Exactly, exactly. All right, this is one of the questions that was asked that we missed last week, Doc, that I want to get to if I can. Regeniton bioinductive implant, new tech rotator cuff technology. What do you think about that?
Well, so Regeniton is the name brand, right? Okay. So it's in Kleenex. But anyways, it's been out for a while since I was a resident, which is like 1,000 years ago now. but what it is, it's it's bovine made out of cow. You put it on top of the rotator cuff. It's supposed to either fix partial rotator cuff tears without having to fix them just by giving it some cellular connectivity, or you can add it to massive rotator cuff tears and it helps it heal. There's many companies that have the same type of thing. There's different names. Regeniton is probably the bigger name just because it's been out for a while. I think that some doctors like it. Some doctors don't care for it. There were some issues in the beginning of having increased adhesive capsulitis or frozen shoulder. Some studies showed. I think the newer studies showing that maybe that's not so much.
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent study on it showing that it did help massive rotator cuff tears heal, which is very promising. I think if you did research on it and that's what you want done, mm-hmm. it should be very simple for any experienced surgeon to add that to the surgery, even if he doesn't do it normally. It's not very difficult at all to add. So if that's something you want, you can definitely talk to your surgeon about it. It's not going to hurt you, I don't think.
Right.
It'd probably either do nothing or help.
All okay. right, Doc, before we let you go, tell the people what you got cooking on Friday. I know you're off.
Yes.
But you got a very special event going on
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, so we're sponsoring the watch party of USA versus the old parents of England.
Wow. Mother England.
The motherland. So it's going to be at Jumbo Shrimp Stadium. I think so far they told me they have like over 2,500 people showing up.
Nice. Yeah.
It's free. You can go in. I think you might have to register. And then I was told they might have some stuff for kids, but the concession stands are open. You can order, you know, drinks and food. It's a free event. You go have fun. And they're going to let you on the lawn and watch the game.
Yeah, which I think is really cool. So you're behind it. Watch party for USA in the World Cup against England. It'll be right there at 1-1 Financial Bragan Field. You can go hang out. And like you said, check out the watch party. Thanks, Doc, for doing that. Enjoy Thanksgiving. All
yeah,
right,
you
man.
You too, guys.
We will talk to you Sunday morning with our Breaking Bones show before the kickoff show. We head into the 2 o'clock hour, and we're going to say a quick hello to Ira Shaffel as he's going to give us a little bit of a feel for what he thinks will happen Friday night, Florida FSU, and then to our I-9 Sports High School half hour with huge football games coming up around the First Coast. That's all ahead right here on XL Primetime.
I mean, it's just, it's the passion, the intensity, you know, the pageantry of it, really. I mean, it's all of it. And I mean, I'm a fan of college football, and you can't speak of great rivalries without mentioning this one.
Now,
hello.
Another great guest on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Our man, Ira Shaffel, warchant.com. He heads it up, and we're going to talk all things FSU v. Florida with Ira right now. Welcome in. How you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you guys doing?
We're doing outstanding, getting ready for the Thanksgiving turkey and all that spread. You're going to have to give us your favorite side before you're done. But when we take a look at this game, before the X's and O's, how is it being received as a Friday night game? I know it's a popular ticket.
Yeah, it wasn't received greatly when it was first announced. You know, I think a lot of people were concerned about it, and especially, you know, the people that live in South Florida or other parts of the, you know, Southeast where, you know, they're going to have to travel on the day after Thanksgiving. Nobody really was excited about that. But I think the prospects now have changed, you know, with Florida State being 8-3 and being, you know, pretty heavily favored in this game. And, you know, they haven't beaten Florida since 2017. So for all those reasons, I think people are excited about it, and it has become a hot ticket. I think I've heard the secondary market is pretty steep right now, and I think it's going to be a great environment Friday night.
Kickoff set for 7:30 from Doak Campbell Stadium. That game will be broadcast on ABC. Of course, you can catch the radio broadcast right here on 1010 AM 92.5 FM. Ira, the Noles come into this one on the heels of not only a 49-17 thumping of Billy Napier's old squad, Louisiana Lafayette, but on a four-game win streak. Compared to the earlier win streak at the beginning of the year, what is the vibe surrounding this recent tear for Jordan Travis and company?
It does feel different. You know, it's kind of been a weird season. You had four wins, then three losses, now four wins again. But it does feel different. You know, I think the first four-game win streak felt almost very surprising, and it was almost like, you know, how long can this last? You know, people didn't expect them to beat LSU necessarily, didn't know if they could win at Louisville. They did both of those things, but then it came crashing down to earth. They had a few injuries. They lost at home. You know, they lost to three ranked teams. This streak feels a little more sustainable. It hasn't been like big plays. It hasn't been, you know, special teams plays or heroic efforts from anybody. They've really manhandled these last four opponents. So I think there's a feeling like this is more legitimate, more lasting. But of course, you know, it's going to feel that way as long as you keep winning.
So Ira, you've mercifully been through the last 5 years and you've seen everything that's happened. What makes you personally feel like, okay, I think they're turning the corner right now?
Yeah, I definitely think they have turned the corner. I mean, you know, part of what happened, you know, when you have two coaching changes, you know, on top of each other, on top of the program going in the wrong direction. You know, the last two or three years under Jimbo Fisher, it was going in the wrong direction. They were not holding kids accountable in the weight room, in the classroom. The culture was kind of eroding. I think Jimbo was looking to get out. Long before he left, he was trying to get out to get that LSU job. And so, you know, you had this decay going on for two or three years, even though maybe it wasn't showing on the field. Then you get a new coach, and some kids aren't buying into that. Then you fire him, you bring in another coach again, and then you got a COVID year. So it just was a mess. And I think what you see now is this is a team where these guys are all Norvell's guys, and I thought this was a real make-or-break year for him because, you know, he can't use any more excuses about these aren't my guys. I mean, these are his guys. Almost all of them either came in as freshmen or through the portal to play for Mike Norvell, but you're seeing that now, and you see that these guys play hard together. They play well together. They understand the offense. They understand the defense. And, you know, they're playing on one page. So I think they're heading in the right direction. That doesn't mean every game is going to be a win. Doesn't mean they're going to win more games next year than they won this year. But I definitely think the program is heading back in the right direction.
Yeah, 8-3, the record for Florida State, 6-5 for Florida. And you will hear it right here on the Superstation with that Friday night kick pregame. Before, we're talking with Ira Shaffel from warchant.com. Jordan Travis, dude, you and I have talked about him a number of times, and the maturation and the improvement and confidence that he exudes now, it's not like he didn't have this before, but now he's got more things around him working with him.
I mean, yeah, they definitely made a lot of moves in the offseason to give him every chance to show what he could do. And, you know, they really beefed up the offensive line, went out and got some really good receivers out of the portal, got a great running back out of the portal, and surrounded him with better talent. And this was a kind of a make-or-break year for Jordan Travis, too. It's like, okay, you've got better material now around you. What are you going to do? And, man, he has exceeded every expectation. He's really played well all season. He didn't play that great, to be honest, during the losing streak. He didn't play great against Wake Forest, did not play great against NC State. Those are games they probably could have and maybe should have won. But before those games and then after those games, he has played great. In the last month, you know, it's so different from what we've come to know. You know, Jordan Travis, it used to always be he could beat you with his legs, and then maybe if you started cheating up, he could hit you with a deep ball. Now he'll throw the ball 15 times, doesn't run it much, but the offense is just working so well around him that he can be efficient and not have to make all the plays by himself.
You can find Ira on Twitter at Ira Shaffel. That's S-C-H-O-F-F-E-L. Ira, let's talk about this matchup specifically on Friday night. Excuse me. Is there any area of the Florida Gators, offense, defense, special teams, whatever it may be, that you believe could give FSU fits on Friday?
I mean, you know, if they're committed to running the football, which Florida was not apparently last week at Vanderbilt, if they're committed to running the football and Anthony Richardson plays well, they can be a challenge for sure. I mean, Florida State's running defense has not been, you know, they've been good, but they haven't been, like, unbelievable. So I think there's a chance there that Florida can move the ball. If they can move the ball on the ground and set up the play action, Anthony Richardson certainly is as dynamic a player as there is in college football. He just hasn't been consistent. So, like, I think that's the fear if you're a Florida State fan is, will this be the night it all comes together for him, or will he be the guy that's had a lot of ups and downs during the course of the season? Other than that, really, there's not a lot where I'd say Florida has an edge. I mean, Florida State, I think their passing offense will have a lot of success. I think their rushing offense is going to have a lot of success. I just have a hard time seeing Florida State's offense not put up a good number of points and yards at home against that Florida defense. The question is, you know, can Florida match some of those scores and then maybe put some game pressure on FSU?
Hey, Ira, I will agree with you that I think they could have beaten Wake Forest in the NC State game. What are they doing? They're holding the ball there. Should have won that game, right? But
yeah.
is there any hesitation at all thinking in Florida State's three biggest games, well, not including LSU because they beat LSU, but in those three games in the ACC, the big games, they lost them. The other ones, they won. Is that any hesitation at all? Give you any kind of pause for this game?
You know, it a little bit, but I really feel like this team's different in a different place than it was then. You know, I just felt like the Wake Forest game to me, that was the first one of that stretch, and I thought they just did not meet the moment. You know, it was almost like they started pressing really early. They had a couple things go wrong early in that game, and they just kind of started pressing and forcing everything and kind of panicking a little bit. And Wake Forest has had their number recently, and Wake Forest is a really good team. And Wake Forest was scoring every time they got the ball, and I think Florida State's offense just kind of panicked a little bit. So that's what I think happened there. It wasn't a lack of ability. I just think that their mindset wasn't ready. I think if you played that game today, I think Florida State would do much better. NC State, like you said, Florida State dominated that game. NC State didn't look like they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And then late in the game, they just let NC State make some plays, and Florida State played poorly down the stretch. And the Clemson game, it really came down to like three plays. In the middle of the game, they got a strip sack, next play touchdown, then they got a long kickoff return to start the second half, and really that was the game. Other than that, Florida State played pretty well. So I'm not that concerned about that. I think they're in a much better place now, a much more confident place than they were, you know, 6 weeks ago.
All right, before you go, favorite side.
Man, I'm basic, man. I'm old school. Mashed potatoes and stovetop. Just give me some turkey, some mashed potatoes, and I've got the hot take. Stovetop, baby. Stovetop.
As long as you can just, like, cover it, like,
yes.
Smothered and covered with gravy, you're good to go.
The whole plate. The whole plate. You can't even see the food.
All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll see how this game goes Friday night. But everyone check out warchant.com. He is Ira Schaffel. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. So, look, it's right at a 10-point line, 9.5 points. A lot of Florida fans are probably wondering whether or not they're going to be able to make this close, and a lot of Florida State fans are wondering if they can blow them out. That's where we are. And we're going to find out whether we get a good football game or not, and if it's the last you see of AR. And I think Jordan Travis has got a really good shot maybe to come back again with the way he's played.
He's got a good shot to come back, but I've heard in rumblings and discussions with people both in Tallahassee and then elsewhere around the country, the question is, I mean, obviously, come back and lead Florida State to a national championship, sure. But in terms of physically on tape, what else is there for him to put on tape?
You mean like to transfer or go to the NFL?
Yeah, no, go. You know, just look and
he's
see.
Not going.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
No chance.
I mean, he is a.
He's no way.
But yeah, no, I don't think. I don't think anyone's
saying
that.
He wouldn't get
drafted. Yeah, I just
He's a great college player right now.
I'm just telling you. I heard from somebody the other day that apparently his camp is exploring the option.
How about if
that would be a monumental bad decision?
Yeah, but how about if you take a look at the skill set and size of Jordan Travis, and is it unlike what we're seeing now in the National
it's
Football
not,
League?
It's not, but he's not. I mean, he is not a guy that's going to stand back there and go through progressions.
Yeah,
and make
throws. I'm not saying he's
not
going
close
getting,
to being there yet.
Yeah, I'm simply saying.
Not saying he won't get right there. All I'm saying is he's a long way. We're literally 3 months away from saying, can he be a thrower?
Oh, I know. And look, this year he is okay.
He's improved drastically.
I got a news flash for you. Even though Anthony Richardson is twice the size of Jordan Travis and maybe twice as fast.
Oh, he's a better player than Anthony Richardson. There's no doubt about it.
We're asking questions about Anthony Richardson
No doubt about it in my mind.
And people are forecasting him as a first-round pick.
Right, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, so, all right.
College player. Much better college player.
Oh, very, very good player. Yeah. And for Florida State, I think they're rooting for him not to go somewhere else, to come back. And that's really
– I mean, why would he even go to another place?
I don't know. He probably likes it there and has a chance to do some special things, that's for sure. Are you heading to the locker room now?
Yes. Jaguars practice ending a little bit earlier than previously scheduled, but they will be practicing the next few days. So I guess at first they thought maybe they wouldn't tomorrow, but they are going to practice tomorrow. So, yeah, practice is about to get out, so I'm going to head down to the locker room.
All right, happy Thanksgiving.
Right back at y'all.
She'll be down there, and you'll be able to find it on the social channels with 1010XL. We've got our I-9 Sports High School half hour coming up. Jamie Rogers has been rocking and rolling in Bradford County. So let's say hello to the man. Fran leading the Tornadoes coming up next. Golf Club of Southampton bringing you Wednesday's show right here on XL Primetime.
The High School Half Hour, brought to you by I-9 Sports, the way youth sports should be. Log on i9sports.com.
We're going to be hooking up with our man Jamie Rogers from Bradford County. The Tornadoes rock and roll, and they are making headlines, that's for sure. I-9 Sports bringing you the High School Half Hour. We say thanks to our man Dougie and everybody at I-9 Sports. Make sure all over the First Coast, if you have a son or a daughter that wants to get out there and play, and you can enjoy youth sports with not a lot of practice time that goes along with it, just getting the kids out there. It's a great way for your kids to enjoy sports. You can check out i9sports.com, flag football, basketball, soccer, and t-ball. And Duval, St. John's, and Clay, all over the First Coast, ages 3 to 17. Don't forget, punch in 1010XL as a promo code, and you get a discount on registration. So when we get ready to say hello to Jamie Rogers, you take a look at some of these games from this past week and some of the games that are set up coming up. We're talking about a lot of really cool ones. University Christian versus Trinity Christian. It is certainly one of the big matchups. You're talking about two highly decorated and accomplished coaches, Verlin Dormany. We know how many state titles he's won, but University Christian and Trinity, we kind of felt like this was a little bit of a collision course between those two, Maddie, and we are now going to get those two toe-to-toe, helmet-on-helmet coming up.
Where is that going to be played?
It is going to
be at Trinity.
Trinity.
At Trinity.
And there's tons of talent on the field in this one.
Yeah.
The Trinity.
Go ahead, Gibby.
Trinity quarterback is committed to LSU. Their running back committed to Florida. Mm-hmm. That'll just tell you.
Speaking of talent, we were talking about Bradford. And the last time we talked to Jamie, you know, Jamie kind of made it seem like they were just a bunch of overachievers on that team.
Mm-hmm.
When we were giving him grief about getting up 7 points. But apparently, according to Gibby, in our pre-show
they
got some dudes on that team.
They have Bradford has, I'm going to recheck this, but I believe they have eight shutouts this season.
Yeah.
That defense has got dudes. Their front seven is loaded. They're really good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at JoJo. I'm looking at their Max Preps breakdown, and it says players 58. But now I'm looking at their their team photo. There's 32 players in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
32 players.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they're rolling. They beat Eastside last week. What, 37-0? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was what, the quarterfinals. Is that right, Gibby?
Yeah, yeah, because they come through and they basically move out of there and they move into, you know, these, we're talking about a chance to get into the Final Four
right
coming up, which is pretty good. And that's really what it boils down to, is just playing at the right time, staying healthy, which is what these schools have been able to do. They've been very, very good at it. And coming out of a victory like that and being able to put it together. And look, this is what they've been planning on and playing for.
They got a rematch too.
Yeah.
With Baker County.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They won week one against Baker County on the road, 21-0. Now, this week, I believe, is at home. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I believe they get to
host.
Home.
Yeah, Yep,
yeah.
It's at home.
And so, you're talking about the way it's gone. He coached there before, and being able to see them again definitely is going to be fun. It's going to ramp up the stakes, I would think, big time in his mind, because Jamie was up there in Baker County and then moved from there up to Georgia and then came back. And you know, shout out to my man Stapes and everybody that's over there in Bradford County now. They've been able to put together a really, really good football team and beating Eastside 37-0 to move on and then turning right around and being able to have this home game to where they can host is huge for them. And that's really what you're trying to shoot for, is just have those quality games where you got your fans in the stands. And the way it's worked with the Metro and then the suburban, rural, however you want to describe it, great opportunity for them to keep moving on. It was a great opportunity for both Baker County and Bradford, because we should look, Bradford County is good. Baker County, they are a team that gets in the ring and they will slug it out.
Oh, yeah.
And they will do whatever they need to make sure they come out on top. And they came out on top with a victory over Baldwin, which also was a great football game.
Kevin Mays, he's a really good coach.
Really.
Because think about it, he came from Vieira.
Mm-hmm.
Vieira this year went 0-10.
Yeah.
And the team he came from. And now he's got a team that's in the regional finals at Baker County. Now, we talked about this Friday with Hacker. Baker's got great history. They've had, Jamie Rogers took them to a Final Four a couple of years ago. They've got really good history. But Kevin Mays has come in there and won some huge football games, because last week was a rematch against Baldwin.
Yeah.
Baldwin beat them in the regular season, and Baldwin had not done so in like 50 years. and they come back. They go in a rematch against them, and they win this time around. So, I mean, Baker, that's going to be a heck of a game because Bradford and Baker is going to be great.
So, yeah, Bradford, two playoff games, yeah. right? They outscore their opponents 85-0.
Yeah, Crescent City and Eastside, yep. Yeah.
And now, so this is the region final right here? Is that what this is?
It is, yep.
So, and then you go to the Final Four if you win here?
Mm-hmm. And they jumped on them. And just the Baker County against Baldwin, 40-7 loss earlier in the year. And they came back and won 31-29.
It's crazy that, so Gainesville Eastside is where Anthony Richardson played high school football. They were terrible when he was there. I don't think, maybe his last year they didn't even win a game. Now they're in the playoffs.
That's a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
They're 8-3 this year.
What happens is if
he's there, they're terrible.
Well, if you have if you have a good player there, other ones want to come play, you know? Right?
I mean, if that's how you're looking at it, I'm kind of looking at it a different way, you know.
Yeah, how?
Yeah.
They might organize that to make
sure. I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, believe me, every scout, we were talking about this in the break, every scout I talked to says he's a first-round pick. I literally have had arguments with scouts about this, about Anthony Richardson, just telling them, I don't see it. What are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
Well, I've said it. I said it to you in the break. I said I've seen everything and I've seen nothing, okay? In other words, size, speed, athleticism, I've seen everything, and I've seen nothing. And the original North Florida gangster, we're having a discussion about this. He goes, how are people projecting this guy as a first-round pick? I'm like, look, I've seen enough to make me want to see more, but then I don't see more, and I can't get away from that. I mean, that is a reality. All right, we missed out on Jamie Rogers. We'll say hello to Justin Barney coming up here in just a second. We'll roll through all the big ball games because there are huge ones. Bradford, Baker County, along with Reigns staying alive in the postseason. Bowles in that matchup staying alive in the postseason. We mentioned University and Trinity. We'll do all that coming up. Our I-9 Sports High School Half Hour.
The High School Half Hour brought to you by I-9 Sports. The way youth sports should be. Log on i9sports.com.
I-9 Sports bringing you our High School Half Hour. We say thanks to them. Don't forget, kids, flag football, basketball, soccer, t-ball, and dads and moms, you can definitely set them up. Check out i9sports.com, the way youth sports should be. Let's say hello to our man, Justin Barney, right now.
Now.
Hello.
Another great guest on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Jay Barn, Justin Barney, he of Channel 4. Sports, you can go to newsforjax.com/sports to see all of Justin's coverage. Welcome in, Jay Barn. How are you, bud?
Josie, thanks for having me. Nice day before Thanksgiving, day off, and Black Friday the day after that, and a lot of football games, too. So it's busy and fun and festive week around here.
Dude, I'm betting at some point you'll have your feet up, but I know you will be working your tail off with all these games. So let's get to them. But before we're done, we're going to ask you about your favorite Thanksgiving side. So get ready for that. But I tell you what, coming out of the first couple of weeks of postseason action, we're still looking at big ball games that include a lot of local schools. Let's begin with Reigns and Bowles and how both of these teams got here.
Great matchup, kind of a throwback rivalry. Last week, this matchup crystallized with an 18-0 Reigns win over Riverside, and then Bowles handled Orlando Bishop Moore 27-10. You know, in these matchups were announced, when the brackets were announced, I thought Bowles had the best chance of getting out of this region, even with that loss to Bishop Kenny in the regular season. They absolutely steamrolled Buchholz in week 11, and I think that's more of the Bowles that we can expect in the playoffs. We've seen that so far, and just a great matchup. You know, different coaches here than when those rivalry games took place from about 2011 to 2016. No more Corky Rogers, no more Durant Wiley, with Matthew Toblin at Bowles now, Donovan Maslin at Reigns, and you know, Donovan had a pretty good viewpoint of those games in the past. He was an assistant for Duran Wiley for all of those Bowles games and Reigns games in the past. And the last time these guys met, the 2016 playoffs, Bowles 60, Reigns 20, and it was a absolute slaughter there. And, you know, that Reigns team came back and won a state championship the next year. So that was how good that Bowles team was and how weird these games have been. It is always an error, a penalty, kind of an ebb and flow of these games, and whoever can, you know, in the past in these games, whoever can ride those waves the best and not commit those penalties, not commit those turnovers, is going to be the one that wins. And I think that's no different here. I think Reigns has a great defense, offense still a little bit up and down, have a good running game, a good running quarterback in Roman Doles, and Bowles really finding its footing. They have a very good defense, have an offense that's still coming to its own. Ty Neal has run the ball well out of the backfield. He's approaching a 1,000-yard rushing season. DJ Moore throwing the ball well. So I think we're going to get a good, good game on Friday night. Maybe not a classic like before, but I think we're going to get an excellent game on Black Friday between those two rivals.
Hey, Justin, you've talked a lot about how you don't think Bowles' 8-4 record is kind of a good picture of what they really are. Why is that again? Explain that to everyone.
Yeah, Bowles, 8-4, it's 6-4 regular season, so not a traditional Bowles team that we're accustomed to seeing. So, you know, Bowles had a stretch where it lost 3 in a row. Not since the early 90s had they done that. So, a different kind of Bowles season this year. But again, in that stretch, they played an unbeaten Brunswick team, which hadn't lost a regular season game in 2 years. They played a Savannah Benedictine team that was a defending state champion. They played an unbeaten Trinity Christian that's going for 3 in a row. So, again, they're not losing to bad teams during that stretch. When they were banged up, too, they didn't have DJ Moore for the two of those games and also a third. So you're looking at a Bowles team that was playing, again, a younger lineup, a younger roster. They're remaking the offense with no Cade Frew, no Jack Pyburn on defense. So a different-looking Bowles team. It was green, and it has grown up. And, again, that Buchholz game in Week 11 really kind of showed me that Bowles is back regardless of that Bishop Kenny loss. So I think that is a deceptive 8-4 record right now, but Bowles is still Bowles. You can always pencil them for 3 rounds or more come playoff time.
University and Trinity, and between the two, 22 games played, a single loss, and that was for University. So, I mean, you're talking Coach Penland is quality, but he's also looking up at legendary in Verlin Dormany. How do you think this one plays?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic matchup. 12-0 Trinity, 11-1 University Christian, or 10-1 University Christian, and it's different for UC. They lost to Trinity in the regular season 20-13, and they lost that game when there was no Colin Hurley on the Trinity side. He was banged up. He was not playing in that game. Trinity threw 5 passes, did not complete one. It was a steady dose of Darnell Rogers and Trayon Webb, and UC could not stop that attack, even though they knew what was coming. So you add Colin Hurley back to the mix. He can throw the ball very well. He's got good receivers. And you've got to account for Trayon and Darnell running that ball. I think they had over 300 combined rushing yards in that first game. So University Christian may have the best player in town in terms of offense in Orel Gray. He's coming up on 30 rushing touchdowns. He's got touchdowns on special teams. A fantastic player. He is going to wear a target on Friday night. He did not have 100 yards rushing in that first installment, but he did have 2 touchdowns. So that is a heavyweight matchup. UC has not won in this series since 1991. Coincidentally, they beat Trinity that year, and they went on to win a state championship under Robbie Pruitt. So be a good omen if UC could knock off Trinity on Friday night somehow, just from you look at a historical perspective. That is going to be a great matchup on Friday night. 9 state champions apiece between those two programs. Wow. So a lot of prestige, a lot of history. The winner stays on track for that state championship number 10.
All right, Justin, Bradford's 85-0 combined score the first 2 playoff games. They beat Baker County 21-0 to start this whole shutout string this season. Looking at the game now, Baker County Bradford, does Baker have a chance to get in this game, or is this going to be another problem for them to score on the Bradford?
Yeah, I think, you know, and you look at that week one game, it was 21-0, not even at the half. So that game was called late in the second quarter, was not made up. I guarantee you they'll finish this one this time. And I think, you know, as good as Baker County is running that ball, and they've got a good defense too, I don't think you can get past Bradford. I think Bradford's a state semifinal team, maybe a state championship team this year. And I think it's going to be maybe not be a shutout, even like we've seen the last 2 weeks with Bradford in the postseason. Cam Smith, an electric running back out of Baker County, I think he finds the end zone. But I think it's going to be a tough hoe for Baker County to beat Bradford. And, you know, Bradford has never been past the third round of the state playoffs before. Jamie Rogers took over at his alma mater, Baker County, when Baker County had not been past the third round of the state playoffs before. He is now at Bradford, facing his alma mater, Baker County. So be kind of sweet justice if he could get past another kind of hurdle for a program that he takes over. He led Baker County to the state championship game in 2017. He will look to try and do that with Bradford against his alma mater on Friday night.
Yeah, definitely a special one, that's for sure. All right, so as we wrap it up, Justin Barney at Justin Barney TV and at newsforjax.com/sports. Of the 3 that we're talking about, the closest game when it goes final?
I think you've got 2 exceptionally tough ones in Reigns and Bowles. I think the Bradford-Baker County game will be in favor of Bradford by a couple touchdowns or more. Mm-hmm. I think that UC-Trinity game is a little bit crazy, a little bit funky. It was a 1-possession game last time. I do think that one probably ends up as the closest among those teams. They know each other well. Saw Vern LeDormand yesterday. He said it is very, very tough to beat a team twice in the same season. He likened it to a Providence game. They beat them by two or three touchdowns in the 2010s and then had to play them again in the playoffs, and it was a three overtime game. So he said he's expecting a situation like that where this game goes down to the wire. Those teams know each other well. UC very, very motivated. They wanted a crack at Trinity Christian. They did not want Orlando Christian Prep in that regional final. They wanted another shot to prove that they can knock off Trinity, and they will get it on Friday night. I think that is the closest of those three local matchups.
Good stuff, dude. Good stuff, man. We appreciate it. Favorite side from one Justin Barney.
I'm kind of a traditionalist. I like green beans. I like those homemade green beans. So yeah. Green beans are my favorite side.
A little veggie coming out of Justin Barney as far as his go-to.
Curveball.
Yeah.
Like
all right. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, man. We always appreciate you chipping in with us for sure.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. And yeah, the
green beans.
There were three green bean dishes yesterday, too. Yeah. So it may be more popular than
we realize. But to be fair, I mean, let's be intellectually honest here, okay?
Yeah.
They were casseroles. So,
they were casseroles.
They weren't so much green beans as they were like a lot of cheese and mushroom soup.
I think maybe Justin was talking about that kind, probably more than anything else. But I gravitate to the starch, obviously, along with the turkey.
Stuffing, yeah.
The starches will most of the time fill up my plate, that's for sure. All right, Gibby, we're going to get fired up now. We're going to wrap up our high school half hour. We have more high school programming once we get to Friday night action.
Yeah, we do. Bowles is we talked about that game, Bowles hosting Reigns. That is going to be 7:30 on Friday. You can look for that one on 1010 a.m. Still a little bit unsure on the actual place of where that's going to be aired because we've got Florida and Florida State football. Right. We've also got Florida basketball, so we're juggling a little bit here programming-wise, but Bowles will be on the air against Reigns on Friday night at 7:30, and looking forward to it.
Yep, make sure that you keep it tuned here, and we can go digital, and we can go with the stream, and then obviously over the air. So make sure you check it all out with everything that will be going on from tomorrow on right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. As we get ready to wrap ours up, we say a quick thanks again. I-9 Sports with our high school half hour, i9sports.com for all your kids' sports ages 3 to 17. Make sure you check them out. We wrap up our show, and we say hello to the Franchi Show coming up next.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet, keeping 1010XL talking with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
Our man, he's Carline, the embedded and shredded, joins us now.
What's up?
And there's some pounding on the table over there on the other side. I'm looking at Matt Hayes, just trying to figure him out. He's a mystery.
He's a mystery.
A riddle wrapped up in a mystery right now.
I love Carline.
You're not even going to clue us in. It's just something.
I can't.
Hayes is always. Yeah. It's one of
the two.
He'll
alert you.
Yeah.
I will alert you. I will definitely alert you.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the two Hayes is over there on that side. All right. Listen, bro. Are you fired up and ready to go on Sunday? What does this football team, your Jacksonville Jaguars, do on Sunday?
I think it's a tough game. I think it's close. I think Vegas has it about right. I think 4-point line is probably where it'll come in. But, you know, you're playing a team that's just, it's in their DNA that they win. Mm-hmm. And this team's DNA doesn't have that at all. And so I think close game, but I think Ravens win.
11 possessions last week from Lamar and one touchdown.
It was rough, man.
And his quarterback rating is not so hot right
now.
Yeah,
it was interesting watching it because it came across like Baltimore realized early on Carolina wasn't going to do much offensively.
Yeah.
And so it became a let's play complimentary football and let's not take a lot of chances ourselves offensively. Now, I still think they were too conservative. It's 3-3 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That's a concern. They end up winning the game 13-3. But yeah, I mean, look, Baltimore's receivers without Rashad Bateman are terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark Andrews is a great player. Lamar is obviously fantastic with what he can do, but at the receiver position, I mean, it's dreadful.
11.
And the running back position, I don't think is any good. Kenyon Drake, I don't think is.
Yeah, Gus Edwards and Kenyon, they're.
That's nothing that I think should really frighten you.
If this offense gets 11 shots with the ball, they're going to score some points.
You would hope. You're
going to score some points.
That's what I'm looking
for,
honestly. Yeah. And real quick, before you set up your show, this is a Doug Salesman opportunity to get them to buy in for the last 7 weeks.
Oh, I think it would be great for the fan base and for the locker room if they're able to beat a team like Baltimore, who's, you know, won four in a row and certainly one of the again, Lamar Jackson's 44-15 as a starter in this league. I mean, they do not lose very often, and they haven't had the success in the playoffs that they'd want. But in terms of regular season, they've been about as good as it gets with Lamar Jackson in the lineup. So it'd be a big win for Doug Peterson and what he's trying to build if they were able to come out of the bye and get it done. I think they're going to have chances. I just think at the end of the day, Baltimore is going to it's going to be the same story. We're going to be sitting here on Monday saying it's the same story that we've been talking about all year. Jaguars in position, can't make the one play they need to make to get the win.
44-15. Like, who in the league other than Mahomes has a better record than
that? I would think that's it, right? I would think Mahomes, and that's probably it.
Right from the jump. I mean, when they moved him in and he took over that spot, he failed in the first postseason. They came back as the number one, got knocked out, but he's been winning a ton. Yeah.
I mean, Burrow maybe from a percentage standpoint might be
just
close.
Starts, yeah. Maybe.
But a rookie, he didn't. I don't think he won a ton. So yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable win percentage for Lamar Jackson.
What's cooking today?
Frank talked to Jimmy Himes, so that's going to be great. Get all the lowdown on all the SEC rivalries, and certainly get Jimmy's take on Gators and Noles as well. So Jimmy Himes coming up on the Frangie Show. We'll also do Sports and Courts with our good friend Brett Hastings. So all that coming up on the Frangie Show.
Where do you stand on that Florida State game?
I think Florida is going to play better than people think. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think.
Man, I hope so. I need something to get me through what the leftover from Vandy, the hangover headache that I still have. Who would have imagined we would go into the Sunshine State Showdown and I'd still be talking about flipping Vandy? That's what happened. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, bad deal.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Enjoy. All right, brother.
All right, take care.
All right, we are out. Gibby, thanks for hanging with us. You got another 3 hours in you.
I do, because it's a short week and the holidays are here, so looking forward to it.
Your first is a hubby, so you'll be enjoying that,
that's
right?
That's right, yes.
I know you will.
Well, we're going to – thank you, you too. Yeah. My cousin lives in Callahan. We're going to try to smoke a turkey tomorrow, so wish us luck. It should be fun.
It'll be good. It'll be good. Slow smoke it. He mentioned it's going on a Traeger. You got a Traeger, so you know exactly what he's talking
about
there.
Slow. Make sure those pellets are in there, man.
All right, we are out of here. We say thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. Don't forget, 287-PLAY. You've been around the family, I don't know, one, maybe 2 days. You say, I got to get to the golf course. Call 287-PLAY. Hop on over to the Golf Club of Southampton and enjoy a great round of golf over this Thanksgiving Day weekend or any other time. Make sure you do it with them, and we look forward to being out there with our Toys for Tots tournament. Don't forget, unwrapped toys, you can bring them here or to the Golf Club of Southampton, and we'll make sure the Marines get it for those kids' Christmas. We are out. Joe C., Maddie Hayes, Mia, Big Cerse, and Agent Gibbs hanging out for JJ. We say from all of us to all of you, the 1010XL family, all you Nooners, all you XL Primetimers, have a happy Thanksgiving.